to go all over.
Blog Talk Radio.
This weekend. They were in Florida last weekend. And he's a great student, too, you know, and that helps. Mom and dad both are quite intelligent.
I'm a part of the fellowship of the unashamed.
All right, here we go.
I have Holy Spirit power. I've stepped over the line. The decision has been made. I'm a disciple of his. I won't look back, let up, slow down, back away, or be still. My past redeemed, my present makes sense, my future is secure. I'm finished and done with low living, sight walking, small planning, smooth knees, colorless dreams, tame vision, worldly talking, cheap giving, and dwarf goals. I no longer need preeminence, position, promotion, applause, or popularity. I don't have to be right first, tops, recognized, praised, regarded, or rewarded. I now live by faith, lean on his presence, walk by patience. I am uplifted by prayer and labor empowered. My faith is set, my grade is fast, my goal is heaven. My road is narrow, my way is rough. My companions are few, my God reliable, my mission is clear. I cannot be bought, compromised, detoured, lured away, turned back, deluded, or delayed. Face the sacrifice, hesitate in the presence of my adversary, negotiate at the table of my enemy, or ponder at the pool of popularity. I won't give up, set up, let up until I've stayed up, bored up, prayed up, preached up for the cause of Christ. I am a disciple of Jesus.
I got it. Hey guys, how you doing today?
Are you on Facebook again?
No, I'm not on Facebook yet.
We're doing fine.
Brother Dan, Sister Gwen, love you guys.
Hi, Dan, Gwen.
Hi.
Are you serious? Do a whole lot more pause it. Okay, here we go. Don't worry. It's all set up and ready to go. He's already preaching. Here we go. You're going to do what we say right now. There we go. All right. Well, whatever. Something just happened to my Facebook feed. I had all set up. There it is. All right, we're going to go live on Facebook. All right. How you guys doing today? Everybody there on Facebook and YouTube? Good to have you with us tonight. It's good to have you with us tonight. There we go. Choose your hour. There we go. It's good to have everybody with us tonight. Did I say that yet? All right. Now. Here's what's going on tonight. You're like, Pastor, you look like you're sitting in the funeral home parlor again.
Who's saying that about our house?
All right, it's not. This is our house. That's a beautiful lamp in the corner with a plant. Amen. And tonight we got Brother John Bevere is going to begin the teaching of a powerful message driven by eternity. And tonight is the first set of it, and it's called The Eternal Reward. And find it very interesting that that the Holy Spirit has illuminated me to do this right now. One of his, like his second verse or something, is Genesis 15:1. I am your exceedingly great reward, which is our January verse of the month. So 2022 for you and I is 2022, I am rewarding you. I like the sounds of that. I love it. I love it. I love it. I am coming quickly and my reward is with me. You will see many answers that come to you quickly. I am the God of answers and the God of thee immediately. So for those of you that's on Facebook and YouTube, YouTube's up. Yeah. All right. Facebook's up. Yes. All right. There we go. Those of you on YouTube and Facebook, what's going to be happening over the next number of nights? I don't know how many it'll be. We'll see how long it takes us. Is we're going to be studying a series called Driven by Eternity. You can't broadcast live on Facebook and YouTube because I don't have the copyright for that. But we welcome you to come and be a part of what's going on. We really want you to be a part of it. And so if you're somebody that we know or somebody that we can get to know, we'll help, we'll allow you to be a part of what we're doing. And, you know, for all of our partners who are with us normally on Facebook Live and YouTube Live, you can see I'm up on both of those right now. I'm here long enough to tell you, come and join us in Zoom. Email me, hgpreacherman@gmail.com, because it's the only way you're going to get the password and the username. And that way we know who you are and we can let you in and you can enjoy this. This is probably going to take us a week to do because each session's about 45 minutes. But it's okay because it's really, really powerful. Tonight we're going to do session one. We're going to talk about it. Tomorrow, I want everybody to come immediately at 7. Don't be late. Because in this teaching, God gave Brother John an allegory. He wrote a little story. And there was such an overwhelming response to the story, the allegory that he wrote, that he went and had it performed like a radio show that was a live enactment of it. And it follows four people's lives through their life and then the judgment before the throne of God. And it's all about this teaching driven by eternity. That's going to be tomorrow night. It's audio only, but you don't want to miss it. You want to be there right from the beginning of the story, right through to the end. And you will thoroughly be enjoy it, and you'll be riveted by it. This message is going to shake you. This message is going to shake you. But it's a good shaking because it's going to shake out the dross and the junk and the dust and the dirt that you don't need. It's going to help you get rid of some erroneous doctrines on judgment and heaven and hell. And it's going to make you very solid as a believer in this. Not only heaven and hell, but eternal rewards and the fact that we now went through Revelation and we are all right. So I'm encouraging you. All right. Now, see, there's why, Sunday. I just said it again. And Rebecca said the same thing. It's going to come. It's going to be live. You know what? That'd be a better idea.
Care to share?
Let's go live tomorrow at 7 Eastern.
Okay, I got it.
Tomorrow night, everybody show up an hour early. Please. Be here or okay. Be square, like the old basketball guy used to say.
Be there, be square.
Now, You know, yeah, that's a great idea. I'm sure glad you said that, Rebecca. That's awesome. Anyways, so that'll be 7 o'clock Eastern tomorrow night, hour earlier, 6 o'clock Central. And that'll give us plenty of time to get the allegory done, still have communion in by 9:30, and get you on your way, not keeping you up real late. And then each night we'll do a video or two. And it is a powerful teaching on our eternal reward. God just helped him just separate it line upon line, precept upon precept. Write the verses down. We're going to do our best to get them in there and write them down as we all take notes together. Those of you on Facebook and YouTube, once again, I can't broadcast it live. I don't have the copyrights. So come to our personal Zoom, which is our church account. Now I can bring it to our body of believers that's right here, and you're welcome to be a part of it. Those of you who are with us all the time, y'all come now. You don't have to be seen, and you don't have to be heard. I'm going to mute all. You can turn your camera off and your mic so that nobody sees you, but you can enjoy the whole teaching with us. And if you've not learned how to do that yet, learn, because you want to be here for this teaching. With that being said, I'm going to say, remember, we've got Read the Word showing up every morning about midnight, I mean, and you can hook up to that. Share that with your friends. There's a YouTube playlist for it, and I'll be glad to post that for you so you can get it. Share that with your friends. All of you out there in YouTube and Facebook world, it's me reading the Bible through this year chronologically in 1 year. It has been an amazing study as we go through God's Word. And we want you to enjoy it and be a wonderful part of it in Jesus' mighty name. Is that it? That's it. That's all I get to say. I've been instructed by my wife, and everybody knows every man does exactly what his wife says.
Amen.
Not sure who that was, but I was thinking that maybe Brother Dan would have said amen or something, you know.
No, he left.
No, he left. All right, I got that. So with that being said, for all of you there on YouTube and Facebook, we sure do love you. And we'll see you again tomorrow at noon for prayer. And then tomorrow night, we'll be right back here. Shoot me an email right during the program. I'll get it. And I'll do my best to get you connected in Jesus' mighty name. Sure do love you. All right. That's done. Glory be to God. God bless them. May they come find us. Let me get everything minimized here that I need to. Looks good. Full screen. Now, how you guys doing? Glory be to God. Everybody excited about life? I was telling Dr. Barkley today about Brother Roger getting those 40 comments kicked out. And he said, well, wow, you guys must be doing something right. Joining ranks with it. And then he said, when he got done, he said, you guys are scrappers. Keep fighting. How do you like that for a title? You guys are scrappers. Keep fighting. And so you got an assignment from Dr. Barkley. Be a scrapper and keep fighting. And we're not going to submit to anything in this world except Jesus Christ and him crucified.
Amen.
Are we ready?
I'm ready.
You ready?
I am ready.
I am ready.
Is everybody else ready?
I'm ready. Here we go. Here we go. I think we're going. I got to get everything set up here. All right. That's there. Chapter 1. Volume.
I want to ask a question. Do we neglect eternal perspective because it's too difficult to grasp? Well, we shouldn't. Because the Bible says clearly in Ecclesiastes, the third chapter, that God has placed eternity in our hearts. So as you go through this curriculum, this is what I ask you to do. First and foremost, pray and listen with your heart. When we have an eternal perspective, we'll endure things we wouldn't necessarily endure without it. We'll make decisions differently. Having an eternal perspective is absolutely crucial to our walk with Christ. This is the 11th book that God has had me personally write for his people, and I have to say this, no other book has personally impacted my life as this one. There are three chapters in this book that talk about Aphabel. Aphabel is a kingdom in another time and another place. It's an allegory that gives us a window into eternity. It shows us the reality of the judgment seat of Christ. I discovered something that Jesus said in writing this book that I've never seen before. In the book of John, chapter 12, Jesus said, I didn't come to judge you, but the words that I speak, they will judge you on that last day. The last day is the day of judgment. So we already know what's going to be spoken by the Lord at the judgment seat of Christ. It's the words he's already spoken. So you'll notice in the Aphabel dramatization, as well as the three chapters, we talk about the judgment seat of Christ, and everything that King Jalen speaks is straight from the scripture. The allegory of Aphabel impacted people so profoundly and deeply when I was sharing it with them that we made the decision to go to Hollywood and do a production, an audio dramatization. You're going to notice that that audio dramatization brings to life even more those three chapters. I'm so glad you've made the decision to get it. You'll also want to share it with many, many of your friends. I believe this is going to deeply impact your life, both reading the book and going through the video curriculum. I'm asking you, please, share this with others, first of all. It's so important that we communicate the gospel of Jesus. That was a command of Jesus, is go into all the world and preach the gospel. Here at Messenger International, we're doing our part to share with you. But now you've got to do your part. You've got to go tell your friends. You've got to share the drama with your friends. Share the book with your friends. Even invite friends over for the curriculum. I mean, have a get-together at your house. Invite people over. Spend that time talking about the Word of God. This is the thing that God emphasized to his people that I don't see happening a lot today in the church. And that is this, to get together and talk about the things of God, to commune over it, and then to fellowship and break bread in talking about the things of God. So there's all kinds of creative ways you can include friends or family members in studying this most important, important message from the heart of God. We're so excited that you've made the decision to walk through, driven by eternity. I believe with all my heart that your life will never, ever be the same again once you complete this course. Not only go through it once, but review it time and time again. Let the truths go deep into your heart and bring the transformation that will make you more like Christ. May God bless you. We love you so much. Lisa and I here at Messenger International, we love you, and we are believing for God the very best in your life.
Now for the believer, it's not where you'll spend eternity. For the believer, it's not where you'll spend eternity.
The decisions you make today determine where and how you'll spend eternity.
You will not be judged on what you did. You will be judged in the light of what you were called to do. Whatever we do in this zero time determines how we're going to spend eternity.
In Hour 1, John Bevere establishes the objective of this important curriculum, and he shows that the Lord not only desires your success, but he longs to reward you for it. He defines eternity and reveals how we can have confidence before God at the judgment. And he It shows that those things that are guiding and motivating your life on this earth today will determine the rewards you receive or the loss you suffer. All of this and more is next as John Bevere begins his teaching entitled The Eternal.
Because we are beginning our very first lesson, and I'm going to call them something different. I'll introduce it to you on the book Driven by Eternity, Making Your Life Count Today and Forever. Now, let me say this. Before I even open up and say anything, I'm going to introduce a word to you that some of you may not know. Most of you should know it, and the word is zenith. You've heard of zenith. I looked up in the Oxford American Dictionary this, the definition of the word zenith. Zenith is the highest point reached by an object. Now, many times they will deal with it in reference to celestial objects, such as the sun. When the sun reaches its zenith for the day, it's in its highest point in the sky. However, that's not only what it's referring to. Zenith can be the highest point reached by any object. Are you following me? The second definition is what I really enjoyed. It says the time. Everybody say the time.
Time.
At which something is most powerful or successful. Do I need to say that again? The time at which something is most powerful or successful. Some of the synonyms are apex or summit. Now, if you'll notice on the cover of the book, and here's the cover of the book, Driven by Eternity, the book Driven by Eternity, we've got a clock on there. And why do we have a clock on there? Well, you know, whenever Jesus is speaking about entering into the eternal, he always is talking about the zenith hour, which is 12 o'clock. You'll notice at midnight a voice came, correct? And if you look at it, 12 o'clock is the zenith hour. I mean, both at noontime, that sun is usually the highest in the sky, correct? And then if you look at midnight, that's the zenith, that's the midpoint of night. And if you'll notice, there are 12 lessons in our curricula. We have lesson 1 through 12. Isn't it interesting that there's 12 hours on the clock? So we're going to call every lesson, we're going to call it hour 1, hour 2, hour 3, and we're going to get you ready for the midnight hour. Amen? Because we want you to be most successful at the zenith. So let me say this. The thing that we have to ask is, what is our targeted zenith for this lesson, all right, for this curricula that we're going through? We're going to begin by reading a psalm out of Psalm chapter 90, verse 12 and 17. This is the New Living Translation. The psalmist says, teach us, and this is actually Moses here. Moses says, teach us to make the most of our time. Say that with me. Teach us.
Teach us.
To make the most of our time. And make our efforts successful. Yes. Okay. Make our efforts successful. So now let me read it again. Teach us to make the most of our time and make our efforts successful. Yes. Make our efforts successful. Now, the goal of every person that's in their right mind is to live a life that counts. How many of you can say amen to that? Any person that is truly, truly in their right mind says, I want to do the best I can in life. Now, this is Moses' prayer. Moses' prayer was, Lord, make our efforts successful. And in fact, he didn't pray it once. He prayed it twice. Did you notice that? Did you notice I repeated it twice? It wasn't me repeating it. It was him writing it twice. He says, and make our efforts successful. Yes, make our efforts successful. Now, this is actually a Hebrew literary form of writing. How many of you know today when we write, we want to put an exclamation on something. We just use an exclamation point or italic type or bold type, correct? However, the Hebrew writers, whenever they wanted to emphasize a statement or a word, they would write the word twice. If you look at Matthew chapter 7, Jesus said, not everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord, shall enter the kingdom of heaven. If you were there when Jesus was preaching the Sermon on the Mount, you would have heard something like this. Not everybody who says to me, Lord, shall enter the kingdom of heaven. If you were Matthew sitting there, you would have wrote that word twice to put emphasis on the fact that Jesus emphasized it. Are you with me? It's their way of putting emphasis. Make our efforts successful. This is the will of God for your life, is to lead a successful life. Don't let anyone ever tell you otherwise. God's will for you is to be successful. Say amen.
Amen.
We can give you scriptures all over the place. He wants you to have a significant life. God says in Deuteronomy chapter 30, verse 9 in the New Living Translation, Moses says, the Lord your God will make you successful
in everything you do. In Joshua chapter 1, verse 8, God says, this book of the law shall not depart from your mouth, but you shall meditate on it day and night. You know this scripture well. That you may observe to do all that is according to written in it, for then you shall make your way prosperous, and then you will have good success. Everybody say good success. Now, let me say this. It takes godly wisdom to have success. Let me say that again. It takes godly wisdom to have success. Proverbs, the 19th chapter, the 8th verse says, he who loves wisdom loves his own interest and will be successful. Let me read that again. He who loves wisdom loves his own best interest and will be successful. Isn't that good? How he says you love your own best interest and you will be successful when you love wisdom. Now, wisdom gives us knowledge and ability to make right choices at the opportune time. True wisdom is not for the mentally sharp. It is for those who fear God, and it can be only found in Christ. In order to build a life of eternal significance, it must be done through godly wisdom, and that's what this message is all about. Wisdom breeds success, and if you are successful, I got news for you. You will be rewarded for it. How do I know that? Because Proverbs 9, verse 12 in the New International Version says this, if you are wise, your wisdom will reward you. Now, let me say this. God wants to reward people. He is passionate about it. How many of you know that God is a rewarder? I didn't hear enough amens. How many of you know God's a rewarder? Amen?
Amen.
As a matter of fact, look at the way he introduces himself to Abraham. You know how he introduces himself? He says, I am your shield and your exceeding great reward. Now, as a father, I've really learned this. I have four sons, and I am absolutely in love with my four sons. I love to give my sons challenges and to see them succeed in those challenges, and then what I really enjoy is rewarding them for it. But, you know, how many of you know you don't reward people if they don't earn it? But as a father, I love to reward my children if they earn it. Can you say amen? We read in Psalm 37, verse 18, in the Living Bible, day by day, the Lord observes the good deeds done by godly men and gives them eternal rewards. Are you seeing this? He loves to give rewards, but his rewards are eternal. And we'll talk about this in just a second. God's desire for our success has been emphasized in the church in our generation. In the past 10, 20 years, how many of you know we've preached and preached and preached that God does want us to be successful, a good segment of the church. However, there are many in the church today that have just listened to one aspect of that and have not balanced it with the whole gospel. As a result, we have many people today in the church that have taken the promises of God, because how many of you know the promises of God will give you prosperity, it'll give you success, it'll give you great relationships, it'll give you a good marriage, but some people have taken the promises of God and used it more for living for the day. Instead of looking at it through an eternal scope. Are you with me? If you only look at the success principles of God and don't look at the overall counsel of the Word of God, you'll end up possibly veering into a life that is living for the day, looking to be successful for the day. The only difference between you and the world then would be is that the world lives for success for the day, but you have promises to back it. God wants us to be a people that sees things through the scope of eternity and measures the scope of success through eternal. Are you seeing this? If you look at some people in the Bible, some of them weren't so successful in the world's standards. You look at John the Baptist, the world wouldn't have called him very successful. Any guy that lives out in the middle of the desert and eats locusts and wild honey and got a camel coat hung around him with a belt going around his waist is not very successful in the world's eyes. Elijah's not very successful when he's living off a little widow woman who's getting ready to die, but yet he was very successful. Are you with me? John the Baptist was very, very successful. So the thing we must do as believers is get an eternal perspective on success. Otherwise, we will begin to live for the day. Because let me tell you something, folks. We will all one day stand before the judgment seat of Christ. Good place to say amen. And when we do, we're going to find out if our life, if we built our lives to measure up with eternal standards or if we built our life to measure up with temporal standards. So don't you think it's a good idea that we investigate what God has to say about enduring success and enduring significance? Can you say amen? Now, before we do, we've got to do something. We've got to establish the eternal. What is eternity or the eternal? I want you to turn in your Bibles with me tonight to Ecclesiastes, the 3rd chapter. And so we're going to establish, first of all, the eternal. Now, while you're turning there to Ecclesiastes, the third chapter, I want to read to you out of Job, the 36th chapter, the 26th verse. All right? In the book of Job, chapter 36, verse 26, in the Living Bible, we hear this. No one can begin to understand eternity. Job 36, 26 states in the Living Bible, no one can begin to understand eternity. Now, look at Ecclesiastes chapter 3, the 11th verse, please. We read, he has made everything beautiful in its time. Everybody say time. How many of you know God is the Lord of our time? Also, he has put eternity in their hearts. Look up at me, please. God has put eternity in every human being's heart. Now, eternity, what is it? How can it be defined? This is amazing. One dictionary that I looked up in, the word eternity in, gave it this definition, infinite time. Another dictionary, I looked up the word eternity, and this is what the definition was. The state of existing outside of time. So one dictionary says infinite time. The other dictionary says the state of existing outside of time. Now, I thought this was hilarious. Why in the world has this gone unquestioned? Suppose a dictionary or a science book gave you the definition of a fish, and one science book said a fish is an amphibian that lives inside of water, and another science book said a fish is an amphibian that lives outside of water. One says inside of water, one says outside of water. We'd go, what? That's crazy. How can two science books describe a fish as one living in the state of water and the other one living outside of the state of water? Yet where we have a dictionary that we've had for hundreds of years, both of these dictionaries are well-established and old dictionaries. One says eternity is inside of time, and the other one says it's outside of time. How come we haven't challenged that? I'll tell you why, because nobody can begin to understand eternity. Our mind cannot grasp infinite concepts. Think about it. Think about the end of the universe. Have you ever done that? Ever since I've been a little boy, I've thought about where is the end of the universe. So would you please stop and think with me, please? Where is the end of the universe? Would you tell me where it is? Would you tell me what's there at the end? Is there a wall? Well, if there's a wall there at the end of the universe, then what's in the other side of the wall? If there's nothing on the other side of the wall, then wouldn't that be the universe going further? You can't mentally grasp the end of the universe because your mind can't grasp infinite things. Are you with me? Or think about a bottomless pit. How in the world can you imagine falling forever and ever? No, wait a minute. Think about it. Two things are messed up for their mind here. First of all, falling forever, never stopping. Secondly, having no bottom forever and ever and ever. That messes with your mind. Or think about God. Okay? Start thinking about God for a minute, would you please? All right, God. When did he begin? When did he become God? I mean, who birthed him? Well, somebody says, well, he always was God. That's exactly true. But tell me about it with your mind. Grasp the concept, please, with your mind. You can't do it. Because we know for sure, God says in Psalm 90, verse 2, before the mountains were brought forth or ever you had formed the earth and the world, even from forever to forever, you are God. He has always been God, is God today, and always will be God. So forever and ever, he was God. Try to grasp that with your mind. You can't do it, but your heart can. So what is unreachable, now listen to me carefully, what is unreachable to our mind is placed in our heart by the Creator. Because Ecclesiastes says he's placed eternity in our heart, but it's unreachable to our mind. That's why the Bible says in Psalm 14, verse 1, the fool has said in his heart, there is no God. Now notice it doesn't say the fool has said in his mind, there is no God. See, there are atheists that say there's no God. Isn't that true? But yet, you know what they're saying? They're saying it from their mind. This reminds me of a good friend of mine. A good friend of mine, years ago, he was a devout, self-proclaimed atheist. Okay? And he was such a staunch atheist. He was a very successful man, very wealthy man, that anybody that tried to witness to him, he didn't even give a second. I mean, one guy tried to minister to him one time, tell him the gospel. He took the Bible out of the guy's hands, threw it on this floor, and stomped on it. He was a staunch atheist, all right? But then what happened was he had some very, very bad chest pains, and he was opened up on to do exploratory surgery. And when they opened him up, they closed him back up and said, you're going to be dead in 24 hours. Sign what you got to sign. Do what you're going to do. You're not going to be around. And so he's laying in his bed in the hospital room that night, and all of a sudden, the thoughts start hitting him. I am going to the house, and the house I'm going to, I don't think is where I want to be. In other words, he knew he was heading to hell. And here he is, a staunch atheist. Now, you know what happened? He died twice that night. And he tells, I'll never forget him telling his experience. And this is a friend of mine, I know him. And he said he left his body. And he said it was just like pulling your foot out of a shoe. And he said he descended in a very rapid rate of acceleration into what he believed was the depths of the earth. And he said as he went further into the depths of the earth, the fear just continually grew within him until he heard the screams and saw the lights of hell. And he said he got right to the entrance of hell and was somehow brought back to his body twice. Twice he went to hell. The next morning he called for a friend who was the only person that ever even tried to remotely get to him the gospel. And he was a close friend, and he knew this guy was a Christian. The friend came to his hospital room, led him to the Lord, and then he said, now I'm going to pray with you to be healed. He said, you're nuts. They gave me 24 hours to live. He said, no, Jesus not only died for your sins, he died for your sicknesses and diseases. Prayed for him, and the man walked out of the hospital 3 weeks later and is alive today still. All right? Now, this is back in the 70s. Are you following me? Are you with me? So he said in his mind, as an atheist, there is no God. But the fool, listen to me carefully, Psalms 14, verse 1 says, the fool has said in his heart, there is no God. Are you following this? The fool is the one who is through continued disobedience has caused his heart to become completely seared to the point where he says there is absolutely no God. And you'll find more of them in churches than you will outside of churches. You'll find a lot of atheists outside of churches that say in their mind there's no God, but their heart's still sensitive. Now, I want to give a definition to eternity, and I'm going to read to you straight from the book. Eternity is everlasting. There is no end. However, it is not just a matter of ceaseless time, as it is not subject to time. Rather, time is subject to it. Speak of eternity in terms of merely perpetual duration is to miss the full picture. To capture the best view of eternity, we must look at God himself. He is limitless in regard to space, power, knowledge, wisdom, understanding, and all glory, just to name a few. He is self-existent, forever was, and forever will be God. He is called the everlasting Father, Isaiah 9:6. Young's literal translation reads, Father of eternity. He is called the King of eternity. All that is eternal is found in him. In fact, eternity itself is found in him. All that is outside of him is temporal and will change. No matter how good, noble, powerful, or enduring it may seem, it will eventually cease if it is outside of him. God is eternal. Therefore, what he speaks is eternal. He cannot lie, nor what he says be broken. If it were so, then all would collapse into utter darkness. For he is light and upholds all things by his word. There can never be a change to what he says, or he would no longer be eternal. That is a sure foundation in which we can build our lives upon. Would you agree with me on that? So many today are not building their lives off of the eternal, which is his word. Are you following me? If what he speaks was to cease to exist, then he would not be eternal. Therefore, he would stop being God. Because everything's upheld by his word. But yet many people are building their lives today off of things other than what he has spoken. Many people are building their lives off of cultural thinking, off of tradition, off of assumptions and emotional feelings of who God is. Now, it's not just non-Christians that do this, folks. It is also, I've learned, believers that do the same. All right? It's a scary thing to believe something to be eternal when it is in actuality temporary or made up. That means you're building your life off of a faulty foundation and you're setting yourself up for a fall. I meet people who tell me of God and their belief in his son, but who they declare, they know, just isn't the one that they're living because they're living contrary to what he declares. Are you following me? Go with me, please, to John's Gospel, the 12th chapter. John's Gospel, the 12th chapter, please. I want to look at the 47th verse. Jesus says, and if anyone hears my words and does not believe. Now, that word believe means to also obey. So let's read it like that, because in the New Living Translation, he actually says, if anyone hears me and does not obey me. So I'm going to read it that way. If anyone hears my words and does not obey, I do not judge him, for I did not come to judge the world, but to save the world. He who rejects me or doesn't obey me and does not receive my words, does not obey my words, has that which judges him. The word that I have spoken will judge him in that last day. Everybody say last day. Last day is another term that is referred to the judgment. All right, you will see actually in the New Living Translation, it literally reads the day of judgment. It doesn't say last day. So Jesus tells us something right here. We already know it's going to be spoken at the judgment. It's going to be what he's already spoken. He said, I don't judge you, but this is what will judge you. The word I speak now will be what judges you on that day. So we already know what's going to be spoken at the judgment seat. It's what he's already spoken. Everything will be judged in line with what he has spoken. Now, don't you think it's wise that we take a few hours and investigate what he has spoken, if that's what judges us? You see, the Bible speaks of judgment. The Bible speaks of, actually, that I know of, three judgments. It talks about the judgments of the saints. Well, actually, there's more judgments than that. It talks about the judgment of the saints. It talks about the judgment of the unbelievers. It talks about the judgment of angels. It talks about the judgment of nations. Are you following me? And all that happens at those judgments will be according to what he has already spoken. So we already know. So we better find out what he's saying. Can you say amen to that? Now, some people think, and this is the people that are not saved, they think God's going to take into account of all that they've done and outweigh all the good and weigh all the bad. And then if the good outweighs the bad, they will be fine on the day of judgment. They may get a little punishment, may get a little scolding, reprimanding, but they will be all right. That's the unbelievers. Now, we believers know better than that, correct? But I find that there are a lot of believers who don't realize that they're going to be standing before Jesus as their judge. They say, well, all judgment was taken care of at Calvary. Therefore, I will never stand before Jesus as a judge. And so they're trusting in an unscriptural type of mercy. But the Bible is very clear, and we're going to get into this very heavily in these lessons, that all men and women, whether believers or unbelievers, are going to stand before the judgment seat. Now, there are going to be different judgments. There's judgments for the believers and judgment for the unbelievers, but we're all going to stand before them as judge. And as far as the believers go, the Bible is very, very plain that we're going to give an account of what we did in our body while on this earth, whether good or bad. Everybody say good or bad. Now, some believers have this erroneous concept that they're going to stand before and just get rewards. Rewards, rewards, rewards. No. You're going to see differently if the Bible does not speak about that at all. And if you believe in that, you've trusted in unscriptural teaching. Good place to say amen. A lot of believers don't believe they'll stand before Jesus and his judge because he's their Savior. They're the ones that I believe are going to be the most surprised. I think believers are going to be more surprised than some of the unbelievers. You know, a lot of believers just think, well, everything's going to pan out. Well, that's not what the Bible says. It's not going to just pan out. Because I'm going to show you in the next lesson how the Bible tells you you better be fully aware of what's going to happen. But most people aren't. In the church I'm talking about. All right? Now, how do we have confidence in judgment? Because the Bible tells us we can have confidence. Go with me, please, to 1 John 4th chapter. And I'm going to show you how, right from the beginning, how we can have confidence before him at the judgment. 1 John chapter 4, verse 17. As a matter of fact, I'm going to read this out of the New Living Translation. 1 John 17.
I love the word.
1 John 4, 17 says, and as we live in God, our love grows more perfect. So we will not be afraid on the day of judgment, but we can face him with confidence, because we are like Christ here in this world. So how can we have confidence? How can we have confidence in the day of judgment? Because we are growing in his love. Are you with me? Did you hear what he said? Because our love grows more perfect. Everybody say love. Now here's the place where I find we get a breach. This is where a lot of people miss it. A lot of people judge love through the temporal or the world's view rather than God's view. I've been in the full-time ministry for 23 years now, and I've been in pastoral roles as well as traveling roles, and I've heard it all. I mean, I've heard people say to me, you know, I've seen people going to church and yet living with each other, but they're planning to get married. And they say, well, you know what? We're in love with each other, you know, and God knows that we're going to be married, and he's chosen for us to be together, and it's just a formality and just a ceremony, and, you know, we really love each other, and we're going to be with each other the rest of our life. It's fine. Well, that's deception, because the Bible says this, that fornicators and adulterers God will judge. Now, I hear this coming out of a lot of people's mouths. I've heard this more than once. They look at it as a love, but their love is not based in truth. Their love is based on what the society considers to be good. Are you following me? Because society is shaped what their definition of good is. I've heard businessmen say this. Well, you know what? I know it's not really quite the truth. I just wanted to be able to close the deal because, you know what? This is really going to be good for them, and I'm just helping them because I don't want to go through all the long negotiations. And I know it's going to be the best deal for them, so I'm just kind of twisting it a little bit, but it's all going to be good. That's not love. That's lying. And the Bible says that liars have part in the lake of fire. Are you with me? So in other words, a lot of times people in the church base their love off of what society said love is, where it's a lot of emotions, a lot of feelings, and what seems to be right according to society standards, or what seems to be right according to human standards, but it doesn't line up with the eternal word of God. You really want to know about love. Do you want to know about love?
Yeah.
If you want to know about love, look at 1 John chapter 2, verse 5. 1 John chapter 2, verse 5. And I'm going to read this one out of the Amplified. We read in the Amplified, but he who keeps treasures his word. Everybody say, keeps his word. Who bears in mind his precepts, who observes his message in its entirety. Truly in him has the love of and for God been perfected, completely reached maturity. By this we perceive, know, recognize, and be sure that we are him. So how is the love of God enough matured? By keeping his word in its entirety. Everybody say, its entirety. I can show you again. Just flip over a couple pages. Look at 2 John. 2 John, that's just over a couple pages. John the Apostle writes this. Look at verse 6, 2 John 6. This is love. Everybody say, this is love. If you want to know what love is, I'm going to tell you what it is right here. This is the truth. This is love that we walk. If I say walk, according to his commandments. So if you really want to know the truth, love is truth. It's keeping the commandments of God. I'll never forget when the Lord said to me one day, he said, son, where did I say love is nice? And I thought about it, and I thought, no, I've never read in the Bible that love is nice. He said, you won't find it.
Not me.
And all of a sudden I realized my definition of love was warped. And then I started studying out what real love was. If you want to know the truth, love is truth. It is keeping his commandments because he is love. I said he is love.
And
he is
now,
how many of you know keeping his commandments in a society that's perverse, as Peter said, is going to be going against the flow? Are you with me? So, the key is knowing what the king desires and expects, keeping his word. Because that's what's going to judge us on the judgment day. See, you know what it reminds me of? It reminds me of when I was in Singapore here. I've been to Singapore about 10, 12 times. And every time I fly to Singapore, something really gets my attention. When you fly into that nation on their entry card, you know, you can fill out a card before you go into a nation. It has on their death to drug traffickers. Okay? Now, I did some investigation on it when I was there, and what I discovered is you will get put to death if you have a certain amount of drugs and a certain kind of drugs in Singapore. Now, I have preached in the Netherlands several times. Do you know it is legal to smoke marijuana in the Netherlands? It is legal. So, can you imagine a nice little Dutch boy, and he flies out of the Netherlands and enters into Singapore? Ignores the entry card completely. And he gets into Singapore and he starts sharing all his drugs with his newfound Singaporean friends. Hey guys, this is great. Makes you feel good. Take a little bit of stress away from your problems. He gets arrested. He's put in jail. Then he's brought before the judge. The judgment day comes. And he's found guilty and is sentenced to hanging. That's how they do it, okay? Sentenced to hanging, all right? And the young man looks at the judge and says, whoa, 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 hold it. What do you mean hang? The judge says, you broke our law. He says, no, wait a minute. Where I come from, it's legal. That's not what happens where I come from. It's legal where I come from. The judge says, we are not where you came from. It's against the law here. Are you following me? Now, I'm going to tell you something. Here's this man on death row. And I'm going to tell you, they don't give over there. Do you remember that boy who keyed the car that was an American years ago in Singapore, and he was sentenced to the caney? Even President Clinton tried to intercede for him. It didn't work because you broke their laws. Are you following me? Now, the thing that we've got to understand is that we stand before the judgment seat. Jesus is going to say, you know what? America was a really loose culture, and I understand that you tried hard. See, John said, whoever keeps his message in its entirety. Do you ever notice how many times God says in the word, carefully heed, carefully heed, carefully heed? But then what happens is we came to the New Testament, we said, no problem. It's all done with. Grace is done. We can do whatever we want now. That's not what grace is all about, guys. I'm going to show you later that grace really is more of an empower to help us to do what the kingdom of God looks for. Not a big cover-up so we can live a completely lawless life, contrary to the laws of the kingdom. Good place to say amen. Now, rewards. We're going to talk about rewards in this next 12 sessions. As I said before, there's more than one judgment. There's judgment for the believers. There's a judgment for the unbelievers. There's a judgment for the angels. The decisions are going to vary at that judgment seat. There's going to be loss, and there's going to be punishment. And there's going to be rewards, which we'll go into later. And let me point out something here to you tonight, folks. And that is this. The decisions that are made at that judgment seat are eternal. They're called eternal judgments. And we're going to go into this next lesson. Everybody say eternal judgments. What that means is the decisions that are made at the judgment seat will never, ever, 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 ever be changed. It's not like you can go back and appeal it 3 trillion years after the judgment seat. You won't be able to. Now, for the believer, it's not where we will spend eternity. It's how we'll spend eternity. And we're going to talk about this in great depth in this course. Because in the upcoming lessons, what I'm going to do is I'm going to talk to you about the unbelievers. Judgment. That's going to be about a third of the book. Then two-thirds of the book is going to be talking about the believer's judgment. The Bible has so much to say about it. I was amazed at how much the Bible had to say about the believer's judgment. And we're going to talk about that. Because Paul made a statement. I want you to go with me to 9th chapter, 1 Corinthians, verse 24, and I'm reading from the Amplified. Do you not know that in a race all the runners compete, but only one receives the prize? Now listen to this. So run your race that you may lay hold of the prize and make it yours. Did you hear that? I'm going to read it again. So run your race that you may lay hold of the prize and make it yours. Now, every athlete who goes into training conducts himself temperately and restricts himself in all things. They do it to win a wreath that will soon wither. We do it to receive a crown of eternal blessedness that cannot wither. Therefore, I do not run with uncertainty, without definite aim. Everybody say definite aim. I do not box like one beating the air and striking it without an adversary. Now, in the New Living Translation, it says it like this. So I run straight to the goal with purpose in every step. Now, folks, let me say this. He says, I run to win, and I run with purpose in every step. You're not competing against others. You're competing against yourself. There's nobody else you're running against except yourself. See, in a race, and he makes it really clear, people run against other people. But in this race, you're running against yourself. Are you following me? And Paul says, I run with purpose in every single step. Now, I have found this, that many, many, many believers have not contemplated this. They've not prepared for eternity. They're using the promises of God to live successfully now, but they're not preparing for eternity. Yet Paul says, I'm running to win a crown that will endure forever. So obviously he's saying, I'm running for the prize. So if anybody ever comes up to you and says, oh, brother, you just need to be humble and just be a nice, sweet servant of God, don't listen to that. That's not what God said. That's philosophy. That's false humility.
Wow.
And that will cheat you of your reward, the Bible says.
Wow.
But Paul says, I got aim and I got purpose in every step. When you understand that everything you do here will be viewed under the scope of his eternal word and the rewards you receive or the loss that you've suffered will endure forever and ever and ever, you'll take notice. I mean, I look at people that prepare for retirement, and that's just 10, 20 years. Yet they're not preparing for eternity. The title of the book is Driven by Eternity. The word driven means to propel. It means to guide, control, or direct. Another definition is to supply the motive force to. What's guiding or motivating you on this earth every day when you wake up? What's driving you? What's motivating you? What's guiding you? What's controlling you? That's what this message is all about. There's going to be people who are shocked at the judgment seat. And I personally, as I said before, believe many of them are going to be believers. There is an allegory in chapters 2 and chapter 3 and chapter 8. If you don't read this allegory, you're not going to be able to follow along as well in the upcoming hours of lessons that we've got coming up. In this allegory, we go into truths of eternity in a story form that's in like another world.
Coming up in hour 2, John will focus on the reality of hell. He will show it is not figurative, as our society today has endeavored to suggest, that there is no comfort or hope of escape. And he will explain the difference between hell and the lake of fire. This sobering but critically important teaching is next in hour 2, Eternal Home of the Dead.
How's everybody doing?
Hopefully you have lots of questions. Debbie, we want to hear the allegory.
Oh, yeah.
So we could do an allegory, one of them.
Do we want to do that now or before or after 2?
Yeah, you want to do it now. So how's everybody doing here? Hey, nobody's talking. Everybody's really quiet tonight.
I think it's really good.
Yeah, it's amazing.
I'm learning a lot.
He lays it right out there in just real common form, doesn't he?
Yes, he does. Makes you stop and think.
Yeah,
whoa.
at one point in this, he said, when he was filming, at one point he said, I would jump up from my desk after having written for an hour or two and just walk around the room, say, that's amazing, that's amazing, that's amazing. But he said, of course, I'm not saying that about myself. There ain't no way I'm going to write that. That's all about the Holy Spirit and what he was saying and the absolute revelation that it was putting on the inside of him because of the eternal presence. But, you know, we could do one of the sessions, get that story started.
Of the allegory? Yeah, it's only
8 o'clock. It's only 8 o'clock? What do you guys think?
Sure.
Right.
I guess I thought I am
enjoying this thoroughly.
Yeah. This allegory, it's not video, it's just audio. But it is very, extremely well done. And here, let's just put it in. We might as well do one. Here we go. You twisted my arm, so we might as well get it done. And then we can talk some more when we're done, Jeff. There you go. There you go. There we go. There we go. Sister Phyllis, love you. Sister Phyllis is about to become a world traveler. Where are you going,
yeah,
Phyllis?
Awesome.
Cozumel.
I love it.
Take lots of pictures. You can't be on the phone talking to us, but at least you can take pictures with your phone and bring them back so we can see them. We want to see it when you dive off the high dive.
Ready? Where is Cozumel?
Mexico.
Oh, we got to be careful down there, though.
Well, everywhere, yeah, everywhere the cruise ships goes, it's automatically safe. You know that. There's no questions on the earth about that.
Oh, the cruise ship. Oh, okay.
Yeah. And Sister Phyllis is going to be able to eat crawfish for, like, what, 7 days in a row? Think about it.
Oh,
yeah. She'll be able to eat anything she wants.
Yeah. Best food in the world is on the cruise ship. So that's it. We don't have nothing to do except just, oh, wait, where's the mute?
I just need to get
bad stuff so I don't lose. Test.
All right, stop.
Test. All right.
And go back. Because evidently it just starts. Hit stop again.
Hit stop again?
Yep. There you go. Now hit play. And hit pause.
Messenger International presents.
There we go. All right, we got it. Well, let's kick it off. We'll make this happen. Now, let's say a couple things about the judgment. I really like what he said about this. And God said to us this year, this is the year he's coming to reward us.
Yeah, amen.
God thinks in reward. The one definition of judgment is laying out the reward that's yours. An heir goes to a reading of a will by a lawyer. For what purpose? To hear the reward, the blessing from his family. So you and I are going to be at the judgment seat of Christ if we're faithful to the end, and we're all going to be faithful to the end. At that judgment seat, we receive the reward. In this story, you're actually going to hear them live, then go to a judgment, and then reap the reward. And reaping the reward will be tomorrow night. And there'll be some that are going to damnation forever. It's very riveting, but it's very, very, very powerful in Jesus' mighty name. I got to move this back there. You can move that light back for me. Everybody hang on. Don't worry, we're almost there.
Yeah, we're good.
There's no picture. I just want it close enough you can hear it. Spin it. On your mark, get set, go. You're picking this story up, and this is a reporter, like he's sending in a live feed from somewhere.
Aphamel, Window of Eternity. From the book Driven by Eternity by best-selling author John Bevere.
Of all the books that I've written, Driven by Eternity has impacted me the deepest. Why? No longer do I see life through 70, 80 years. I now see it through the eternal perspective. We produce Aphamel with movie-quality sound design, Hollywood actors, including John Rhys-Davies from The Lord of the Rings, and an all-original music score. The drama of Affabel is not just a story. It's a way of looking at your life, how you spend your time, and how that determines your eternal future.
And now, it's time to awaken your soul with this audio epic of another time and place. Affabel, Window of Eternity.
Test, test, test. Test, test. All right. Peter Braden, PRS News, Kurdish Territory, Northeast Afghanistan, December 2nd, 11:21 a.m. And report in 3, 2... I find Afghanistan to be a country of amazing contrasts. It's a place with the richest history and yet the poorest people. A place full of surprising scenery and yet the ugliness of war. High up on this windswept mountain, the towering sandstone rocks around me stand watch over a valley of arid beauty below. In another time, in another place, this valley could very well be the setting for a mountain retreat center or a haven for tourists, except for the craters. Except for the burning tanks, except for the villages, or even the, where even the, come on, Peter, get it together. All right, take two. In 3, 2, in another time, another place, this valley could very, who are you? Just a teacher. But please, don't let me interrupt you, Peter. Well, actually, I was... Wait a minute. How do you know me? I listen. Oh, right, you heard my slate. I am sorry. I did not introduce myself. My name is Sages. Pete Brayton. You know, with that robe of yours, I almost thought you were a warlord.
Please, go on with your report.
I can't right now. What you saw today in that village of Sekir.
Yeah.
How do you know what I saw?
I cannot say.
I don't think I buy this. How do you know what I saw this morning?
How long have you been a reporter?
18 years. So what does that have to do
then
with...
Then you have seen much. Much that would disturb any human being.
Well, yeah, sure. But there are ways you deal with the stuff, you see.
So, how do you deal with the stuff?
Well, it's like a wall you build up around you. It's the only way to survive out here. I mean, in fact, wait a minute. Look, it's really nice to meet you, Sages, but I've really got to get going here, okay?
But what happens, Peter, when your wall fails to hold?
What do you mean?
What happens when you see a little four-year-old boy crying for his mother who just got shot in front of him?
What?
What happens when you find his little sister lying there in her own blood?
The wall doesn't always work. Oh, come on.
It's all right.
How did you know?
Come. I have something to show you.
What?
Come.
Why? Wait, where are you going? Okay, what you got here?
This.
A cave. So?
Follow me.
Hold on, you're going inside? Sorry, I'm not. All right, look, I've got this claustrophobia thing, okay? And this thing with big dark spaces. And this thing about following strange old bearded guys in a cave without any clue who they are.
Take a look inside, Peter.
All right. But just one step, though. Oh. Is that an opening I see up there?
Straight ahead.
Come.
Okay. I guess. If it's short.
A short distance, but a very long time.
I'm sorry. What did you say?
You'll not be disappointed, Peter. I promise you.
In the world, but this,
using the measurements you know, Hafadel occupies about 200 square miles.
200? How long has it been here?
Hafadel was designed and built by the founding King Father, who then turned all leadership over to his son, King Jalen.
Yeah, okay.
Oh, and listen. If you listen very carefully, you can catch the melodies of Hafadel floating up on the breeze.
No. Sorry.
Listen again.
Okay. Yeah. Yeah, I do. Beautiful. Hold on. Is this all in my head? Imagination or not?
Yours is the realm of stories. That is part of my realm as well. And I have quite a remarkable story. That is, if you would like to hear it.
Look, Sages, I really need to get back to my report.
You've been struggling with many questions today, Peter. About the evil of mankind. The futility of life.
Yeah, well, that wasn't in my report.
My story may have some answers for you. Do you want to hear it? Or not?
Well, at this point, I'd be pretty crazy to say no.
Well, very well. This is the story of five friends who once lived in the province of Endel.
Endel?
Look off to the west there, beyond the flatlands, beyond the great river of Donga. I was a teacher and headmaster at the school of Endel. But these five were my special students. There was deceit, faint heart, selfish, charity, and independent.
Interesting names.
That is part of my story as well. You can imagine with names like these, they did not get along very nicely. But they had to learn, because in their last year at school, they were elected as class regents. All except independent, that is. I personally appointed him to an office I called Ombudsman.
Oh, to take care of complaints from the students.
Yes, but more importantly, to reach out to independent.
So, how long were you headmaster now?
This is a story, Peter, not an interview.
Okay. Sorry. Go ahead. I'm listening.
At first, the children born to the citizens of Athel were brought immediately to Endel, where they were cared for by the king's nurses. At the age of five, they started at the school of Endel.
All right, class. Take a look inside your book of the ancient writings.
began to discover all this. Every teacher trained their students in the ways of King Jalen to prepare them for the king's test of stewardship. The Endolites who grew up to follow Jalen would become citizens of Athabel, experiencing the joy and peace and presence of King Jalen himself. But those Endolites who rebelled, who lived for themselves, would be exiled to the land of Lone, a desert territory of utter darkness and isolation, ruled by Dagon, the Dark Lord of Lone. I was assigned to mentor these five leaders. It was their last night together before graduation. The five all hiked to the top of a mountain and set up a campfire there.
I am going to miss it.
Faintheart, it's time to celebrate, my friend. We have finally made it. I agree with the theme. It is none too soon to be out of that school. You were hardly in that school, Independent.
You know, this may be the last time we're all together. Terry is right.
No, we'll see each other again.
But it won't be the same.
I have an idea. What if we all carve our initials in that big tree over there? That way we'll always have something to remember each other by.
Splendid idea, Faintheart.
Well, thank you. And what if we all come back here every year?
There you go.
Wonderful idea, Charity. Independent.
Fine. Get settled then. I'll carve my initial first. Here's my knife. Much obliged. For the fun of it, we can make a word out of our initials, such as id or gibbous.
That does not make any sense. Or how about discus? I suppose that doesn't make any sense either.
But it will make sense to us someday, when we come back.
I vote for Charity's work.
I agree. All right, then. Discus it is. And I'll start with my letter over here.
You know, one day this tree is going to be outdated.
What do you mean?
They just said King Jalen's going to change our names when we get to Athabel, remember?
With a name like Deceived, I'm counting on it.
It's time for you to carve your initial next.
Very well. I shall leave some space for your initial here, Independent. Thank you.
How I wish I already had a name like yours, Charity.
I agree. How would you like to have a name like mine, Deceived? All my life I've had to prove that I'm not. You don't want to listen to that fellow. He's deceived. Reason I've studied very diligently to find truth.
And?
I have found that Jalen is a king of great grace. Without his grace, I'm done for. But I don't worry about it that much. After all, Jalen wants us to have a grand time here in Endem. That's what forgiveness is for. And I'm counting on Jalen to give me a wondrous name, such as King Light or Wise One.
I remember Sages telling us something about not receiving grace in vain.
No problem here. I have a very healthy appreciation for grace.
Independent, it's your turn to carve your initial.
Thanks. I don't have such a wonderful name either. Selfish. I believe it could very well hurt my career in politics.
You're already chancellor of the class. Didn't seem to hurt you there.
True, but that's because I've matured past any selfishness. I'm compassionate.
Oh, that's why you organized that clothing drive for the needy?
Exactly.
Right before the class election.
Exactly. Wait.
So, you want
to
be...
I should like to be the mayor of Endem. And why not? You all will vote for me, won't you? Won't you?
Sure. It's your turn, Charity. Your initial. Oh, go ahead. You first. All right, then. I'll leave some space for your C. So what do you want to do, Faintheart?
I want to be a teacher someday. I thoroughly enjoy learning about Jalen, and I believe it would be an honor to teach others about him.
I loved our classes, especially the Sages. I hope I can inspire my students the way he does.
Okay, I'm finished. It's your turn, Charity.
Thank you. And what about you, Dizzy?
I'm not sure, but I plan to be successful.
There!
Hey, let's all say it together now.
Charity, you've been asking everybody else what they want to do. What about you?
I'm not sure, but I've always loved cooking.
Start with Jalen's wisdom, you'll do just fine.
I agree.
You will.
Wait, we haven't heard from you, Independent.
Well, I suppose I'm the only one here that likes his name. Why would I want to change it? I've always wanted to be my own boss. Start my own business.
Hmm. An independent businessman. Clever.
You are going to make an excellent businessman. I can tell. Oh, just think. With all that we learned about Jalen, you could go independent.
I suppose it's time to tell you all now.
What?
I don't believe in Jalen.
What?
No.
And I believe that these stories are all part of a myth. It's all part of some sort of plan for the teachers to keep us in line. I don't think Affabel even exists.
How long have you been holding this back?
I've kept it a secret for a long time.
But you're turning your back on Jalen.
Jalen turned his back on me.
What? But how?
When I was little, I got lost in the woods. I called out to Jalen, come rescue me. I wanted to see Jalen. More than that, I needed Jalen, but he never came. Finally, a teacher from the school found me. But I started thinking, what if there isn't a Jalen after all?
Don't you think it's possible Jalen sent the teacher to help you?
Don't you think it's possible that there is no Jalen?
Independent. You're here today because Jalen is real. We can't dictate how he answers us.
Please! I'm telling you, it's all a myth. You need to be set free from this narrow thinking.
Wow.
All of you, find your own truth.
Wow.
Don't be foolish.
You all are the fools. And Sages is a great teacher of fools.
We don't need to continue this conversation.
What are you doing?
I propose we move on to something more interesting. This should help.
Is that what I think it is?
Ah, yes. Alia. That special sweet drink that helps us celebrate.
This is not a very good idea. We should be making our way back home.
Charity, will you think for yourself just this once? One sip won't hurt you. You know, I believe it's time to get off your throne of arrogance and prove you're a regular person like the rest of us.
Well said.
I have nothing to prove.
I'll have some to Steve. Pass it over.
Here you go.
Selfish?
Actually...
Selfish. No is the word you're looking for.
Yes. No. I mean to say yes. You're right, Faintheart. I'm going to say no, and if this matter ever comes to light in the future, I want you all to remember what I said here tonight.
What did he say?
He said no.
Oh. Charity?
No. I don't want any. Good for you. And neither do I.
You're missing out.
You know, I don't think you have to do this.
Steve, are you all right?
Of course. I'm on top of the world. That was quick.
Yeah, too much. It goes straight to the brain.
Charity.
No, I don't think so. Oh, Steve, watch out for that rock. You're getting too close to the fire.
What are you talking about? I'm... Oh, look out! Oh,
oh, oh, oh, oh, oh, oh, oh, oh, oh, oh, oh, oh, oh, oh, oh, oh, oh, oh, oh, oh, oh, oh, oh, oh, oh, oh, oh, oh, oh,
oh, oh, oh, oh, oh, oh, oh, oh, oh, oh,
the blanket!
Here!
Steve?
What a fool!
He needs medical attention. Look at those burns. They're all over his arms.
Can you move, my friend?
He's too drunk to move.
We've got to carry him down the mountain.
If we cross paths with anybody, please. Don't tell them that I was in the company of people who were gave me up. Please.
Oh, selfish.
Here, you, an independent, carry deceased in your arms. We've got to get him help. Quickly. Look there. Lights ahead.
Oh, thank goodness. This is quite similar to carrying a tree.
I've never drunk a tree.
I recognize the plunge. That's the floor in hell.
Why don't we take him to the hospital?
It's too far. Come this way. Is there anyone inside? Not time yet. Hold on. That appears to be...
Sages!
Sages!
Help!
We need
you!
We need you!
Help us, Sages!
Here he comes!
I sincerely hope the events of the night don't come back to us.
What's wrong?
The seed fell in the fire.
Bring him inside, quickly.
There you are, my son. Oh, that's better.
Thank you, Sages. You're welcome. So, you were drinking Alia, eh?
No, sir. You'll be pleased to know that I did not. I tried to tell them this is not right, people, but...
I was asking deceived.
Oh.
Yes, I had quite a bit.
Are you going to turn us in?
It is time for me to move from teacher to observer. For now, it is your choice what you do with the teaching you have received. Come tomorrow comes the beginning of the test of stewardship. Are you ready?
I hope so.
I believe I'm ready.
Charity?
I believe so.
Something I never told you all. King Jalen has come here to the school of Endel at certain times in secret.
He has?
Why didn't you tell us?
Because Jalen is a myth.
He's been talking like that. Can you speak some sense into him?
He is beyond listening to me anymore. That is his choice.
Even if there was a Jalen, such a king wouldn't be so strict with all these rules. It's all part of the system.
Will you stop talking like that? You sound like a lunatic.
I have had enough myself. Thank you.
Well?
Selfish, your thoughts?
I do agree with Independent on one point.
You do?
Yes. How could such a loving king be such a harsh judge? The way I see it, Jalen gives us enjoyable things so that we might have an enjoyable life.
Remember, Jalen is merciful, but he is also just. And he will judge each of you according to what is in your heart, as well as your words and your ways.
Well, from what I hear, Jalen is planning a huge time for us in Affabel. I can't wait for that great banquet everybody talks about.
There is much more for you to learn to see. Perhaps.
Following graduation, each one of you will be entrusted to the specific commissions and a certain sum of money, predetermined by Jalen himself. This is the test of stewardship, for which each of you will give an account. I now call the five class regents forward to receive your sum of money. Chancellor Selfish, Vice Chancellor Faintheart, Co-Adjutant Deceived, Financial Officer Charity, Ombudsman Independent. Independent, you are hereby granted 55,000 entrustments. 55,000? Deceived and Faintheart, 40,000 entrustments.
Thank you.
Selfish, 75,000.
75? This is unbelievable. I'm amazed.
And Charity, 25,000 entrustments.
Thank you, Sages.
Did you see? All the time she's been in school, and she receives so little. What a waste.
It is.
School of Endel, your class. Use your entrustments wisely, and never forget that time is an entrustment as well. Beware the wiles of Dagon to draw you from Jalen's path of wisdom. And remember to never neglect our weekly community gatherings here at the School of Endel. The ancient writings warn us, do not forsake the assembling of yourselves. These gatherings will remind you and encourage you in the ways of Jalen, preparing you for your time in Affabel. And with that, I bid you my best and my blessing. School of Endel, you are hereby dismissed.
Yes. It was a happy day, Peter. But that day passed all too quickly. Soon, the shadow of Dagon fell.
Okay, I know this is not an interview, but who is this Dagon character?
Dagon was once an underruler with Jalen, one of the greatest underrulers in all of Affabel. But Dagon's eye wandered from his own throne to the great throne. Why should I be an underruler when my wisdom and stature call me to something much greater? Dagon became the first citizen to rebel against Jalen, but his plot was quickly exposed.
Dagon, King Jalen's judgment has been rendered.
He has found you guilty. You have lusted after power, and power you shall have. As the Dark Lord of a forsaken wilderness, you are hereby banished to the land of Rome. Jaylin has issued a decree throughout all his kingdom. All who follow the way of Dagon and refuse to acknowledge Jaylin as king by word and action will hereby be banished and forsaken to the land of Lone for the remainder of their lives.
Tough sentence. Yes, tough sentence. But not merely for Dagon. From the time of his rebellion, the Dark Lord's vengeance was to draw the Endolites away from their inheritance in the kingdom of Avabel, to see Jaylin's heart crushed for each one he had banished. It wasn't Jaylin's heart alone that was crushed. So what happened to the five? Dagon prowled the deep shadows of Endel, where he blinded one of the five and stole the very heart of another. Yet some of them vanquished the work of Dagon and courageously followed Jaylin. And so, for one of the five, great sadness was in store. For one, great power. For one, great abundance. For one, great betrayal. And for one, great love. And you expect me to figure out who got what? Wouldn't you like to know? Soon grew tiresome. Deceived had always wanted to build homes, and so he went to work. He built some of the finest homes in all of Endel, using the highest quality materials and workmanship. The trouble was, they were too expensive for Endelites. No one was buying them. That's when Deceived hit upon a new strategy. He made all the very same promises he had made in the past, but this time around, he used much cheaper grade materials. As a matter of fact, Deceived commonly violated the building codes of Endel. The homes of Deceived appeared to be elegant, beautiful to behold, and they were sold at an equally beautiful price. His business was doing quite well.
Mr. Deceived, sir.
Yes?
I have several customers who demand to see you today.
Tell them to come back tomorrow.
That's what you told me to tell them yesterday, sir.
Oh.
And the City Assembly of Endel sent you a notice. It appears they're launching an investigation.
Again?
Again. And there's a gentleman here to see you. He says he's an old friend.
Uh-huh.
His name is Independent.
Independent?
Independent, is that you?
I believe so.
Come on in, my friend.
Thank you. I won't be long. Your name has come up a few times at the City Assembly, and I wanted to see how you were faring.
How I'm faring? Just look at this place. Business couldn't be any better.
That's what I hear. So, things are going well, you say?
Well? Well, yes. I mean, now and then I have to talk with a few perfectionist customers who don't want to deal with wasteland or me threaten my life, that sort of thing. But other than that, my business is stretching. Excuse me. Let me just check on a little something. Happy day!
No, I'm not
the impression I want for an interview.
But this dress here, look at this. Alluring, captivating. It screams out teacher's assistant, does it not?
Daytard?
This dress here.
Hold on, please. Gusta! Is that you? Yes, it's wonderful to see you. You as well. You are still applying to become a teacher, am I right? Yes, and it is a very exciting prospect, I must tell you. Oh, you'll make such a great teacher. There's no doubt about that. But, is something the matter? Oh, no, really, it's nothing. I don't want to spoil your day. No, tell me. Well, all right, then. Come here. Slander has been talking about me. What do you mean? Well, she told the headmaster yesterday that you slept with one of the students.
What?
Well, I heard a rumor that she's applying for the same job as you.
What? How could she be so treacherous? She betrayed rape me. Oh, she is going to pay.
Sweetheart, this is not a standard part of the job interview, but I want to set that aside for a moment. As your former teacher, I want to ask you something personal.
Yes?
Have you forgiven Slander?
Well, I'll forgive her eventually, I suppose, but at this moment, it's difficult.
Something you should know. Our school officials looked into the matter, and it was just as I suspected all along. Slander's claims were proven to be false.
Thank you for believing me.
There's more. Not only have we decided to make you a teacher's assistant.
Yes.
But we wanted to make sure you were assigned to one of our most gifted teachers, Double Life.
I have it. I have the job.
Indeed.
And I'll be working with Double Life? It's amazing! I don't know what to say. Oh, yes, I do. Thank you. Thank you, Stasis. Oh, you're the best. Thank you, thank you, thank you, thank you!
You're welcome. You're very welcome.
I'm sorry. I suppose it's not proper to hug your job interviewer.
It's all right.
This is far better than I could ever expect.
Congratulations. I'm very happy for you. I realize you are no longer in my class, but I would like to remind you of something.
Yes?
Unforgiveness is fertile soil for the root of bitterness, a root that can strangle your heart.
Yes, I know. You taught us well, Sadie. I will try my best. You can count on
me. I'll be back momentarily. Excuse me.
Fine. Slander, I wanted to forgive you for trying to ruin my life and wreck my career. Slander, you beautiful pig. You surely don't deserve it, but... you know, Slander, I don't believe I could ever forgive you.
Ava.
Yes?
There's someone I would like you to meet.
Oh?
Your new boss.
Mr. Double Life.
Miss Baytard, I'll leave you two to yourselves. Thank you, Sage. Please, sit down.
Mr. Double Life, I am so honored.
So am I. And you can do away with the Mr. Art. I'm no longer your teacher.
Very well.
And I don't follow the strict boss and employee formalities. I like to think of those who work for me as my friends.
Oh, I like that.
You come highly recommended.
Thank you, sir.
And don't worry about the sir part either.
Yes, sir. I'm sorry. Yeah. No, Mr. Double I. I said Mr. tonight.
Don't worry about it. I believe you're going to do very well.
Why, such a big place this is. All right, where is she now?
Welcome to Food for the
Thank you. I'm looking for Charity.
Ah, then you have come to the
right.
Good.
Here, we give generous portions of charity and chicken soup.
I meant charity the person.
Ah, our master chef. Right this way.
Yes, thank you. Charity.
Selfish. What a pleasant surprise.
Thank you well. And there's something you must ask.
Do you mind helping me serve while we talk?
No, very well. There you are, sir. Thank you.
So what is it?
I have a challenge. My election campaign is not looking very healthy at the moment. If I'm not to be Mayor of Endell, there you are, ma'am.
Thank you very much. That's the soup.
You're welcome. So I need your help.
I'd be glad to help you, but I don't know much about politics.
Here, sir.
Much obliged.
Charity, you know people. Many people throughout Endell, and they love you. They trust you.
So, the little righteous princess is at it again.
Hello, Ruthless.
Excuse me? What did you call her?
It's all right.
I call her a righteous princess. She thinks she's a little bit better than all the rest of us. She's a Jalen fanatic.
You treat the lady with respect.
Go easy on them. It's had a rough night.
Oh, I can give it a rough night.
Here you go, Ruthless.
How can you let him treat you like that?
He's coming around. Now, you need help with your campaign, but I'm not sure what I could do.
There are many, many believers throughout the city, and they admire how you stand up for gender principles. Here you are, ma'am.
Thank you. It's very delicious.
You're welcome. Sure. You made the soup.
I did.
As I said before, you need to start a restaurant.
Oh, I already have. It's downtown.
Is that so?
Mm-hmm. And I volunteer here once a week. Try the soup. It's one of our specialties.
Mmm, this is absolutely delicious.
You were the one who encouraged me. Here's your soup, ma'am. Many thanks.
Charity, I'm glad I encouraged you. And perhaps you can encourage me now in return. So...
Don't worry, selfish. I'll do what I can for you.
My trusty assistant, you may retire for the rest of the day if you wish.
Well, that's very kind of you, Mr. Bazine. I shall thoroughly enjoy my 7 minutes. But what about you?
I'll be fine. I'm going to sneak out the back door and Independent will pick me up on his horse. I've had enough of these annoying customers today.
Well then, have a pleasant evening.
Good to see you, my friend.
Work, my friend. Keep low and hang on now.
I am. Thanks. I'm very grateful to you.
Nothing too much for a friend. So I hadn't a chance to ask. What happened since the last time we saw each other?
Oh, you have not been coming to the weekly meetings. Are you surprised? Not in the least. After graduation, I remember several days of parties and celebrations. And then, I slept with a girl and...
What?
Well, she became pregnant. I don't know where she is, and I've never seen my son.
Sounds to me as if you weren't following King Galen's rules.
He knows I'm not perfect. That's why he's so full of grace. As long as I continue to give him my allegiance and refrain from hurting anyone too badly, it's all going to work out just fine. In fact,
Is something wrong?
That mansion on the hill. Spectacular.
You seem to admire it.
Yeah, I do.
It's mine.
Yours? That's your mansion.
I invested well. Gold trading, merchandise. Business has been good. Life has been good. King Jalen would have been proud of me.
That is amazing. You have done well, my friend.
If I could offer some advice, you might want to try another line of business. One that suits you better.
That's not a new idea for me.
Then what sort of business?
Land development. No more critical customers or meticulous rules. Simply land. Open and right to conquer. I bought some property to the south of here for 100 trustments per acre.
Sounds pretty large.
It certainly was. It's a floodplain. Only a few people know about it. But there haven't been any floods in my lifetime. There shouldn't be a problem developing now.
I have some friends on the city assembly.
Do you suppose they can approve me developing there without all the hassle of the permits?
I believe we can work out something for you.
Well, this turned out very nicely. Very nicely indeed.
I have all the homework assignments corrected for each one of your classes, and every student's grades are current.
That's very impressive. Thank you.
You're welcome. I'm still not finished with organizing.
Hold on. I've been meaning to talk to you. I'm concerned.
Is something the matter?
Have a seat.
All right. Is it my work?
Yes.
I have been working very hard to keep pace with all the assignments. I have. I'm staying here past hours, such as tonight, and I'm trying to...
That's the problem.
But I don't believe I can work any faster or longer. I'm trying to...
I'm concerned because you're working too hard. Feinhard, I've never had a better assistant than you.
You haven't?
Yeah, but I don't want you overburdened. You should take some time off every now and then, all right?
Of course. And thank you.
You're welcome.
Well, I still have so much work to do.
Feinhard, it appears I'm going to have to teach you how to take a break.
Teach me?
I propose a walk with me around the lake. It's a beautiful night out there.
These tests have to be graded tonight.
This is your boss telling you you need to take a break. Come.
All right, then. I love the way the moon reflects on the water.
Yes, very pretty.
I have to admit something here.
Oh?
All my life, I've wanted to become a teacher. And I've been watching you teach your students, and I admire what you do.
You do? Why?
I admire how you put everything you have into your teaching. I admire how you make the subjects come to life. I admire your way with the students, and the way you smile, and the way you laugh. See? Like that.
Thank you, Feinhard. I admire you as well. I'm glad you're here.
I am too. We should be getting back so I can finish this test.
There you go again.
Charity? Charity!
Oh, hello, Paul. Is everything all right?
Is everything all right? Did you hear what happened?
No.
Charity, I won. I won the election.
You won! Oh, congratulations, Mayor. I like the sound of that. I am so happy for you.
And congratulations to you. Just look at this restaurant you have here.
I'm so glad you're finally able to come see it. You were the one who encouraged me.
I did.
Selfish?
Yes?
Would you care for an appetizer?
I'd love it, if I could find a place to sit.
They just told me we had 500 people in attendance.
Well, no wonder the punch went so quickly.
It appears we raised about 20,000 entrustments for the school.
Wonderful.
Mm-hmm.
Has everyone left?
Yes. It's only you and me.
Well, is everything clear from the table?
All taken care of. I believe we make a good team, you and me. Did I ever tell you how beautiful you are?
Shouldn't. Excuse me. That's far enough. Take your hands off me.
What?
Get away.
But I...
Now!
All right. Put the punch bowl down and no one will get hurt. We can talk about it.
Please!
Sweetheart, I hope
get out!
How about if I leave now?
Thank you.
Hello, I'm looking for Charity.
Oh, I know that voice. Hello, Sages. It's so good to see you.
See you again, Charity. And look at your restaurant here.
Yes, I love it. Except there are some challenges. Like last week, I had to let a couple of people go. It was hard, but I believe everything will be fine. Here's the menu. Order anything you like. I brought in some of the best chefs in the land for these recipes.
Charity, I appreciate your hospitality, and I would love to stay, perhaps another time.
Is something wrong? How about that one in the corner? What's the matter?
The school of Andel is facing a crisis.
What?
We've been getting a huge influx of students of late, and we're quickly running out of space. If we don't expand very soon, we're going to have more and more students receiving less and less attention. We're trying to raise money to buy the land adjacent to the school so that we can add another wing. But if we're unsuccessful, I'm afraid we'll soon be giving our students an inferior education.
That's awful.
That's why I need your assistance.
Sages, you know you can count on me for financial support.
No, you have raised more than enough. We're very grateful. But this isn't about money. There's a vote coming before the city assembly. You see, that property next to us is owned by the city. And tomorrow night, we'll either donate the land to the school or sell it to the Forest Hill Lumber Supply Company.
Oh, but with Selfish as the new mayor, we can count on him, can't we?
He donated 1,000 encrustments to our land drive, but that was all. Also, Forest Hill contributed heavily to his election campaign.
This doesn't look very promising.
That's why we need you there. The city council is split between the school and the lumber company. The rest of the community is apathetic.
Of course. I love Jalen, and I love the school.
It's because of that love that you have won the hearts of people in this city. Your presence there tomorrow night is critical.
I'm going to leave school early tonight.
Fine.
The city assembly vote is tomorrow.
I'm aware.
Baynard, I owe you a huge apology. I'm sorry for what happened. It was wrong. And I was hoping you could forgive me. Yes?
I'm sorry I threw the punch bowl at you.
You're sorry you missed.
No. But it was wrong what you did.
I agree. It was wrong. But I couldn't help myself. I know it's no excuse for my actions, but I have grown very fond of you. You're beautiful.
I agree.
You do?
Yes. That's a poor excuse.
Faintheart, may I have your hand? For a moment.
Why?
Just for a moment.
No!
All right.
My apologies to you, my princess.
No!
No!
Well, that's a nice start.
Do you mean I may kiss more?
No.
Such as your other hand.
I suppose you may.
Thank you.
Double.
Faintheart, may I?
Don't ask. No. No, this is not right. We shouldn't.
Yes, you're right. We shouldn't.
You're right.
I want to.
Come.
You know something?
What?
I believe I could spend the rest of my life right here on the couch beside you.
But don't you have papers to grade?
I don't care anymore.
Neither do I. There's only one thing I care about now. And she's right here with me.
In closing, the School of Andel has enjoyed a rich and beautiful heritage of excellence. But tonight, that heritage is in danger of ending with us.
The ancient writings tell us we will reap what we sow. And tonight, I urge you, members of the City Assembly, for the sake of the School of Endell, for the sake of our future, so well.
Thank you, Chancellor. As you know, as mayor, I only vote in the case of a pass. So as the members of the Assembly vote, please remember that the outcome of this matter is entirely in their hands. And I understand the Assembly is ready to vote. All in favor of the city selling the land to the Forest Hill Lumber Company, please raise your right hand. Will you vote in favor? And now, all in favor of the city granting the land to the School of Endell, please raise your right hand. Three votes. It's a tie. So it appears it is now up to me to cast the deciding vote. I have to admit it. I love the School of Endell. I spent many years there, and I have many fond memories. But the fact is, an expanded school will not directly benefit our economy. However, this lumber company would bring in additional jobs and help the city of Endell grow. I recommend that the school explore other options to expand their current facility. Meantime, for the good of the community and the citizens of Endell, I cast my vote for the Forest Hill Lumber Company. The meeting of the City Assembly is hereby adjourned. They just.
Yes, ma'am.
Please understand, I feel very badly about the vote tonight, and I hope you won't. I had to do what I thought was best for all of us.
I understand.
I pledged that I would do my best to find another plot of land for you.
But you mean moving the entire school, a very expensive prospect. And you already know, Selfish, we cannot expand on our current land. The lot is too small. And the structure is too old to support building on top of the current school.
It's just here.
What is this?
5,000 in trust money for the school.
Thank you, Mayor.
You're welcome. All I ask is that you remember me when I run for re-election next year.
But things will be very different next year.
Wait, what do you mean? Thank you.
And so, if you study the original meaning of this passage in the ancient writings, you'll find something very curious.
Mr. Double Life.
I'm in the middle class.
You're in the middle of trouble.
Perhaps we can step out into the hall.
Perhaps we can. You traitor! You filthy double-crossing traitor!
Please, hold it down. We are professionals here.
And you are a professional brute.
Please, Faintheart, tell me what's wrong.
Perhaps you can tell me. Allow me to give you a little clue. Since you seem to be having a sudden attack of stupidity, I'll give you two words. One, slander.
Slander?
And two, affair.
You are very mistaken.
There's no mistaking. I saw you two together last night. I gave you everything I had. And this is what you give me in return. And with slander of all people.
I made a mistake. I'll make it up to you. I promise.
Get a new assistant.
What do you mean?
I'm resigning. Effective immediately. Here are your papers.
All right, class. Chapter 2.
Faintheart took the remaining entrustment she had and opened a beauty salon. She stopped coming to the weekly gatherings at the school, despite Jalen's instructions. She didn't want to be associated with hypocrites.
Well, I can relate to that.
But the weekly gatherings were vital to build the lives of one another, to encourage each one to keep the path of Jalen.
So was Faintheart still a Jalenite, or whatever you call it?
She confessed allegiance to the king still, but her heart turned cold. Deep within, she blamed Jalen for all that had soured in her life. She spent the rest of her days strangled by the root of bitterness. And then, one night, they came. The royal guard, Amabel, swift and secret. While the other citizens of Endel's scepter deep sleep, the royal guard swept up the five, along with their 2,000 classmates. Double life was taken that night as well, and all the other teachers his age. The day of judgment was at hand.
Alrighty then. All right. How's everybody doing? Were you able to hear it okay?
Yeah, I had no problems hearing it.
Oh, good. I know Rebecca.
Except for that one time, there was no sound, and then it came back on, so.
Oh, that was my fault. I muted. I muted him.
I made her the co-host, and she muted everybody, including me. You got to be careful who you make a co-host.
I kind of found it hard to follow.
Did you? Yeah.
Well,
I could read it better and get it more than listening to it and have the people in it.
Right. And basically what you've done is they were in class, they graduated, they were given talents, sent out to do their work. They all went out and did the work. Of course, double life, lived a double life. Faint heart was very faint of how she acted. Deceived was deceived. Charity was full of charity, and independent was still operating independently.
And selfish was selfish,
and slander was slander. Now, at the very end, I don't know if you could hear him, and they got the soft-hearted guy with loud music behind him, the soft mouth.
Yeah.
But at the end, it said that God came back and took him away for the judgment.
Oh, so there's more.
Yeah, yeah. So tomorrow night we'll be at the judgment.
Okay.
So what this is an allegory like what you and I are living out in our lives right now.
Yeah, your mom gave me a book one time called Hind Feet on High Places. Have you ever read that?
Yes.
Yeah, that's an allegory too. That's a very good allegory.
Yep. Pilgrim's Progress was another one.
Is that an allegory too?
Yeah.
Oh, I have that book. I do artwork, and somebody gave me that book, and I just put it in my bedroom. So I sleep.
Is that right?
I haven't read it. Yeah, Pilgrim's Progress. Yeah.
It's amazing. It's an amazing story. It really is.
Oh,
and
okay.
You, this book, here, I brought my book. This book here. It's what it looks like.
Driven for eternity, by eternity.
Driven by eternity, yep. Making your life count for today and forever. And, of course, like with Dr. Sutton, you can go to their website. You can buy it. You can't buy the series I have. I'm giving you the first one. This is what the new series looks like. And in it
What's the L by?
Aphabel.
Yeah, now what is that?
That's the name of the city where it takes place.
Oh, the city. Okay, yeah, I kind of got mixed up on the Aphabel. I thought it was Aphabel Kingdom.
Aphabel was the name of the city.
Okay.
Kingdom, huh? I don't know. We got one hand up, Brother Roger.
I think he was just waving himself along.
What's that?
I think he was just waving.
Oh, you're just waving at us?
No.
All right.
Do we want to elaborate on the yellow alert?
or do we have to have belly laugh with it?
we'll get back to that in a little bit if you weren't a part of this morning. So, you know, the cool thing about what we're doing is right in the middle of God helping John write this book, God gave him a story to put it into picture form. And tomorrow at the judgment, it's a serious, serious, you can hear it play out right in front of you what it's going to sound like, you know, from how the Holy Spirit inspired John to write it. And like Brother John always says, I'm not writing the canon of Scripture. I am inspired by the Holy Spirit to show you what he showed me. And so you and I can call on the Holy Spirit to illuminate our hearts and mind and help us understand exactly what's going on. Tomorrow, when the allegory is finished, we may have time for one session. And of course, that one is eternal judgment. Then for the next two sessions, he's going to teach on eternal judgment. And I don't know if you guys saw me in the video there, but I was actually at this when it was recorded. And it was a very serious anointing. And just like with Dr. Hilton Sutton, they did it on Thursday night, Friday night, and then they had five sessions on Saturday, and then five sessions on Sunday. And yeah, man, by the time we got done, it was like, wow, what an inundation of God's holy word. And a very well, very Holy Spirit led instruction about eternal judgment, about judgment of Christ, and about our lives as we live them forever in heaven. And that's a wonderful thing. And we're going to hear him. We're going to hear him be judged tomorrow, and then we'll get into the teaching also. Anybody else have a question or a statement?
Yes, let's talk about the judgment thing in 1 Corinthians 11:28, where it says, "If you judge yourself, you shall not be judged."
All right, that's very good, because that goes right along with our communion. Let's just open up our Bibles right there. That way we're already going to be ready for communion. 1 Corinthians chapter 11, verse 28. 1 Corinthians chapter 11, verse 28. When I was at this meeting, it's when this verse came alive to me. For the first time in my life, somebody taught me that God actually made it possible for me to judge myself so that I will not be judged. And I'd always just thought that all judgment was left up to God, and that, you know, that's it. Let's read 28 through 34. Let a man examine himself. 1 Corinthians 11, 28 through 34. Let a man examine himself, and so let him eat of the bread and drink of the cup. Now, naturally, this is the communion service, and that's what we're talking about. Sit it there so I don't tip it over here yet.
Welcome.
All right. Now, so we're talking about communion, but remember the law of double reference. Just because it's talking about communion doesn't take it away from the fact that that principle is going to work in every part of life. So Jesus said, let a man examine himself. Now, the Holy Spirit of God lives within you, and that Spirit is connected to the Holy Spirit and connected to God in a perfect connection once you're born again. Now, verse 28, and so let him eat of the bread and drink of the cup. 29, for he who drinks, eats and drinks in an unworthy manner, eats and drinks judgment to himself, not discerning the Lord's body. Well, an unworthy manner is not that you once sinned or even sinned this week. An unworthy manner is not judging yourself first and saying, God, I need you in my life. That's the unworthy manner. You got to judge yourself. And as you have the Holy Spirit living on the inside of you now, and those of you that's been with us a long time, you've become very, very accustomed to Holy Spirit saying, no, do this. No, not that. Do this. Don't do that. Do this. And he's not being mean or hard. He's guiding you out of error into truth. Out of error into truth. The Spirit of truth lives in you. And he guides you out of error into the truth. It's when we hang on to error that we begin to harden our hearts and sear our conscience. Wow. 29. To himself, 30. For this reason, many are weak and sick among you, and many sleep. That's why in the church, many times, people are very sick and diseased, and then, as he said, sleep, some die. Because they don't discern the Lord's body and actually what is going on. And they don't judge themselves according to the word of God and the word that's being taught them that they can step up into. Once you see a picture of where you can get, then nobody can stop you except you. And be your own best interest, best friend, best chair and audience, and get yourself there. And wake up every morning knowing that God Almighty wants you at that place you can see. Verse 31, for if we would judge ourselves, we would not be judged. Now it just stops there. You're not going to be judged by others. You're not going to be able to be judged by the devil. And when you, of course, that will make you right with God. So you're going to make the rapture. And when you stand before Jesus, you will have already judged yourself properly. You'll already know there's things you'll suffer loss on. And because you continually judge yourself, you continually say to yourself, I ain't doing that no more. I'm not going to do that anymore. And what happens? We just move it out of the way. We just move it out of the way and move it out of the way. Why? Because you're judging yourself. What's amazing about this is that's what God wants for us. And if we will follow in that and keep our conscience from being seared and our heart from being hardened, we'll keep ourselves right in the very center of God's will by the Holy Spirit, speaking on the inside, illuminating our hearts and minds and understanding. Because we're judging ourselves according to the word we're hearing, according to the Holy Spirit that lives on the inside. The Holy Spirit on the inside of you and the inside of me is not going to lead us in two different directions. Amen. He's not going to teach me to teach you righteousness and then let you go live in the flesh. But righteousness isn't the goody-goody two-shoes way you're trying to live. Righteousness is receiving his righteousness and learning to appropriate it by faith through grace. Verse 32. For when we are judged, we are chastened by the Lord, that we may not be condemned with the world. So we're going to be judged by God, but the only place where we're going to be judged by God is where we harden our heart, stiffen our neck, or sear our conscience. Dr. Barclay taught us the other day, by erroneous doctrine, by philosophy, psychiatry, psychology, or deception, those who teach you wrong. And you and I aren't going to go there because we're in the Word every single day. Look what it says. Therefore, my brethren, when you come together, eat, wait for another. But if anyone's hungry, let him eat at home and is back to the community. Think about this fact. As you continually keep your heart very in tune with God, you're not going to walk into any situation at all, anywhere, where it's not God's plan, because he's going to start checking you on the inside. It's when you get the check and you go buy it that you begin to get a deception happening,
a seared
conscience, or worse yet, a hard heart. Am I making sense?
Mm-hmm.
There was one of the greatest things in the world I ever heard. I get to judge myself. Well, when you do wrong, you know it immediately.
Yes. Yeah, that's true.
Nobody knows you better than you. That's why I don't spend my time judging you. That's fruitless. I don't know you. The Holy Spirit might at times say things to me, give me a statement to say to you, and you might be like, oh my God, how did Pastor know that about me? And then begin to think, I know everything about you. No, if he said something to me by the Spirit of God, and I say it to you, and it reveals your heart, well then praise it. Because I don't know what I'm saying. I guarantee you, I don't live my life wondering what all y'all are doing wrong.
No. And we don't worry about that with other people either. That's judging.
And that's where Jesus said, judge not that you be not judged. Right?
Mm-hmm.
However, we must make a judgment in every situation of life. Now get the balance here. Not a judgment to condemnation, a judgment and a decision. That person just took a step the wrong way. I'm not walking with them.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
That situation is not right. I'm not going there. What did you do? You made a judgment call, not a judgment on the person.
Right. Okay. Yeah, I see what you mean. Yeah.
And that's a matter of the heart.
That's like a hominem.
Like a what?
A hominem, isn't it? A word that, no, it's spelled the same way. What is that? In phonics. Two different meanings, but it's the same word. I can't remember what
it's
called.
Oh, right. Synonym.
Yeah, cinnamon.
Yeah.
Cinnamon,
yes. Amen. Cinnamon, sticky, sticky cinnamon rolls, yes.
Yeah. No, not.
Go ahead, Phyllis. Maybe not.
I have such a poor memory. I don't know what's wrong. I did hit my head at one time, and then I went to neurological places, and they told me that I wasn't a candidate for Alzheimer's or anything, but because when you hit your head, you get a closed injury, you know, and I don't know, just lately, but I can't remember anything.
Well, we speak over your life right now that the memory of the upright is blessed.
Amen.
Right out of the Word of God. And your brain and your brainstem and your head and our cabeza is all renewed by the Word of God as you read it every single day. That's why Book of Proverbs chapter 4, verse 22, the Word is life to those who find it and health to all their flesh, even your brain and your mind, in Jesus' mighty name. So
might just be aging.
Well, yeah, but Moses was 120 before he aged, so.
Well, that's true. That's true.
And there's a lot of 80-year-olds that are sharp as a whip. And
I know.
I met a man one day that was 93 years old in Hale, Michigan. And I talked to him, and he drove himself. He was at the hardware store, and I think that's where it was. And he went back, and he left, and there was a guy standing there. He said, you know him? I'm like, no, I don't. He said, he's my neighbor. I'm like, yeah, what about him? He goes, that is the most interesting man you ever met. He said, he come to me the other day and said, would you help me buy a new car? He goes, well, yeah, why? He goes, well, I'm only 93. I might as well buy a new car. I've had this one for like 15 years. They go and buy a new car, and he comes back happy as the lark, and he paid for it cash, and he went over and saw him again. He said, well, keep your eye on me. I'm going to re-side my garage. And he said, the old man out there all by himself re-sided his whole garage.
Wow. I love that.
So he said he invited me in for supper, and I thought, well, I might as well go see what the old guy eats. And he said, he asked me to go get something, get a Mountain Dew out of the refrigerator, told me I could get one. So he said, I opened it up, and the only thing in the refrigerator was a gallon of milk and a 24-pack of Mountain Dew.
Really?
That's not giving anybody permission to drink Mountain Dew, but if you do, drink milk with it.
I drink Mountain Dew. Whoops. Oh, no.
So anyways, you know, the idea is we all have the opportunity by God to walk closely with him. And the greatest thing you got to realize is the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit live on the inside of you. And that Holy Spirit is giving life to every cell, every tissue, every joint, the marrow in your bone, your brain, your hair. The Holy Spirit lives inside of you, producing life from the inside out. From the inside out. And so I just encourage you, no matter what you're faced with, you keep speaking, I got life in me. And that life is crushing anything that's trying to get on this body. And I am free. Yes, I am free at last.
Amen.
In Jesus' mighty name. It's time for communion. I'll just preach all night, and I don't want to do that.
Why?
Because tomorrow night might need to be a night that goes just a little bit longer. I'm not sure how it's going to work out, but I want to make sure we get you done. Yeah, but, and get you started. Now, Dr. Barkley tonight, this afternoon, called me. I asked him to give me a call. He called me and talked to me. I was telling him about this morning how Brother Roger had 40 comments deleted that he made last night. Now pray for him, guys. He's got such an unruly typing finger.
Yeah.
Now,
yellow alert.
Now, watch this. Dr. Barkley said, wow, you guys made it. I'm like, what? He goes, you made it. You must be doing something right. You're getting that kind of persecution from Facebook. And I'm like, yeah, we are. And he said, man, it started a couple years ago, he said, they did it on Facebook, they did it on YouTube, and he said, they just hammered us, but he said, just keep going back until we get a different platform, just stay there and reach anybody you can reach. Tell them to keep going. And then he said, you guys are scrappers, stay at it, fight a good fight. So you bunch of scrappers?
Thank you, Pastor.
Yeah, thank you, Dr. Barkley. Amen. Thank you for that. Thank you for the dubious distinction of being a yellow striped belt scrapper.
Don't get me started.
No, I'm trying because you need to be able to laugh before you go to sleep, brother. But here's the thing. They're going to keep trying to limit. Remember, Isaiah 60, 1 through 4. Darkness will cover this earth. It's not going to go away no matter how much you pray. Gross darkness, the people of the earth. But the glory of the Lord shines inside of you and I, and people are drawn to the brightness of our shining. That's why you and I want to get brighter and brighter and brighter. So anytime you're walking where there's darkness, people are just drawn to you. That way, when they're drawn to you, nobody can tell you to stop. They walked up and asked me a question.
Wow.
Say it with me. I got the light.
I got the light.
And they're in the darkness. They're going to come. They're going to be stuck to you. It, I don't know if you ever had it happen. I've walked around the grocery store before and Walmart, and somebody keeps following me, and you're like, the person seems to be following me. I always check to see if it's a big biker dude and I need to be concerned, but, you know. No, all right. That's just a, finally, this one day, this lady just said so. I don't even remember what she said. But I said, I need to pray for you, don't I? She's like, would you please pray for me? Her whole life was falling apart. And why did she follow me? Because the light of God was coming from me. And it's the same way in every one of our lives if we'll continue to grow closer and closer to him and say, use me anywhere you want to use me. And that light will shine. We'll probably be on Facebook and YouTube right to the very end. And they'll keep trying to stop our comments, and who cares? Yeah. I don't care. I'm not doing anything that violates anybody. I'm not calling anybody wrong. I have called a few people wrong, but I repented of those I should, and the rest of them, you're wrong.
Yeah.
And if you don't change, you will go to hell, all right? But I'm not trying to get you to go to hell. It's not my words that are sending you to hell. It's your actions. I am the last person in front of the ravine saying, bridge is out. The bridge is out. And, you know, I don't hate nobody. I don't hate nobody. No way. I'm going to love you to the very end. And I'm going to tell you, that's going to cause you, you're going to go to hell. Don't do that. That'll take you to hell. Change. I'm not a hell monger. I don't want you to think about hell. I want you to think about heaven.
Amen.
If I can fill your heart and mind and spirit with the Father's love, mercy, and grace in a relationship, you ain't never going to worry about hell because you won't go there. Because he has so much glory. Anything outside that glory? No. Get away from me, you foul. Like Joseph. You dirty dog woman. I will not sin against God. His first thing, I will not sin against God. Not only not against you or my master, what she had or who she was. His first thought is, I'm going to stand before my God and I will not violate that. In Jesus' mighty name.
In Jesus' mighty name.
Let's
read. Sorry. Go ahead. The great amen.
The great amen. Roger, nobody deleted it.
I didn't go to work last weekend because I was feeling well, but this weekend when I went, that Debbie was waiting to see me, and she told me that she believed that when we prayed, when I prayed for her, that's when her son was, you know, at home alone, and they told her goodbye and was going to commit suicide. And she couldn't get a hold of him. And when she got home that night, he said, I'm going to church with you in the morning.
Wow.
He went to church with her, and he didn't go forward, but she said that the change in my son, she said, and then she said he'd always wanted to be a police officer, and this week he got a he got a letter saying he was accepted to the state police force in Michigan for academy.
Come on.
Yeah, and so she thinks that the prayer that I prayed really changed the course of his life.
Hallelujah.
And I was like, wow. I said, because I was looking for him on the obituary.
Yeah. Yeah, if you pray that you'll live and not die, don't look in the obituary and just shout glory, all right?
I didn't know. I was so sad because, you know, it's a 27-year-old son, and I was crying. I thought, oh, my gosh, we better go home. And she said, no, I can't. I have to work. And, you know, I said, well, you know, whatever we prayed, I said, well, then God's going to work it out. And, I mean, I'm sad, and I know. You know, but then I did the next day. I thought, oh my God, I hope he didn't kill himself.
Well,
but when I heard the pray, well, I also heard I can't pray anymore there. But you know, that's somebody turned us in, and she, the girl that was there, it was another girl there too. They almost got fired, but they just got a warning. Can you
hear me?
Yeah.
Yes, you can, Rebecca. You know, Francetta, I had this thought that when you said that the other night, you posted that.
Yeah.
You could stand beside somebody and look at products on the shelf and pray for them while they stood next to you, and you ain't touching them, and you're both looking at the store shelf getting your products. And you can pray right out loud, Father, in Jesus' name, help this lady next to me. She needed prayer, and I'm praying for her. I hope she picks right ramen noodles because I'm getting mustard and ketchup.
That's true, because they brought up yesterday, or not the day before yesterday when I was there, that she came to me and she said, you know, it's a six-foot rule, I guess, or something. And I said, well, I don't even see a sign for 6-foot rules anymore in the store. And she said, well, Meyer just said that, you know, that we can't do that. We can't do that while we're working. And then she said, I didn't tell him that you were a ship shopper because then I was afraid that they would tell ship and you'd get fired. She says, you know, she's a believer. And she said, we just have to be really careful these days because they're out to get us, you know.
Does that violate ship's process?
Oh, yeah, we can't do anything like that while we're working. No, you can't pray for somebody or anything. There's something in our policy about, I'd have to look it up, but I remember reading it. And we're not even supposed to go, we're supposed to ship, we're supposed to shop, not talk. Customers, we're not there for social reasons.
Well, that's true, but you are a human being, and you did need to find where the spaghetti was.
Yeah, that's true. Yeah. Well, this is right in the front of the store. Door greeter. Debbie's the door greeter, and you know, that's the second time I prayed with her, and I don't know who the lady was that turned us in, but you know, everybody is checking out right there.
That's really sad to hear about Myers. That's sad to hear.
And one of the customers went to management and said they don't want to hear that when they're in a store. We're not in church.
Well, that's the other thing we said the other night. Get you a business card and put your email address on it. Or whatever you want them to have to contact you and say, you can answer them, well, call me. If they say they want prayer, or they say, ma'am.
I was just thinking about that today. That's funny.
Yeah, because it's very simple.
Business card.
You don't have to have anything big. Just put it on there, put your name, put it on the, right on the card. I'll pray for you, and then they'll text you. They'll call you, whatever it is you want. And
I was going to make one for Community of Faith.
Yeah.
And then find out if I can make one that's digital. I mean, like I can keep on my phone and just send it to people like a picture, but it won't be a picture. It would be, you know, making it digitally on the phone. But
yeah.
I have to figure it out. But I did think about a business card today. That's what I was thinking.
Right.
I kind of went like, God bless you. God bless you. I was kind of brave when I was in the store. They said hi. I said, God bless you. You know. Because I was like, it upset me that I couldn't, that was told me. So,
yeah.
But then I thought today, just today, I thought, yeah, the way of doing something.
And you could also set it up with a QR code. Now, it'd take you a little bit more work, but you could just have your own QR code, and they can just take their phone and snap a picture of your QR code, and their phone will record what's on that QR code and take him right to your whatever, your email address, your phone number, whatever, and they would have you right in their phone. And if you'd have your name and everything on it, yes, there's a process there that makes it easy enough to make it happen. Now, we got to get to communion because we're burning our communion hours up, and some people got to get up in the morning. You still don't have audio, Rebecca. Turn your volume up on the side of your phone. Turn your volume up again on the side of your phone. Swipe your screen all the way to the to this side, maybe the other side, to that one screen, and there's a place where there's a little speaker on there. However many times your screen will go sideways, get clear to the left, and that's where it is in my phone. There's a little speaker. Click on that speaker, and then it should make it so you can hear. Oh, she can't hear me. I'm telling her something she can't hear. We love you, Rebecca. There, maybe you got that. Let's pray. Father, thank you for this wonderful word today. Thank you for Brother John, Sister Lisa, Messenger International. Bless them, Jesus. Thank you, Holy Spirit. You inspired the book, the series, the message. We receive it, and we receive the revelation of it supernaturally by your Holy Spirit. Bring it alive. Might want to say it. Bring it alive in me, Holy Spirit.
Bring it alive in me, Holy
Spirit. In Jesus' mighty name. In Jesus' mighty name. In Jesus' mighty name. Amazing. Here we go. I received from the Lord, 1 Corinthians chapter 11, verses 23 through 28. I received from the Lord that which I delivered to you, that the Lord Jesus, on the same night he was betrayed, took the bread. When he blessed it, he broke it, and he said, "Take, eat, this is my body, which is broken for you. Do this in remembrance of me." And in the same manner, he also took the cup after supper, saying, "This cup is the new covenant of my blood. As often as you drink it in remembrance of me." Verse 26, "For as often as you eat this bread, as often as you drink this cup, you proclaim the Lord's redemptive work," his life, his ministry, his suffering, his death, his burial, his resurrection and ascension, until he comes. Verse 28, "Let a man examine himself, and so let him eat of the bread and drink of the cup." Because if we would judge ourselves, we would not be judged. 1 John chapter 4, verse 17. "Love has been perfected among us in this, that we might have boldness in the day of judgment." Why? Because as he is, so are we in this world. Perfect love casts out all fear and the torment that goes with it. We thank you for it, Jesus. In your mighty name, there is no fear in God's love. And there is no fear in the communion elements. Thank you, Jesus. Now, everybody here tonight is born again. But I know all y'all. So, let's pray our prayer from the born again point of view. You ready? Thank you, Jesus. Everybody pray with me. Thank you, Jesus.
Thank you, Jesus.
That I have been born again.
That I have been born again.
I am filled with your Holy Spirit.
I am filled with your Holy Spirit.
I am living in the joy of the Lord.
I am living in the joy of the Lord.
I'm a member of the body. I have the fruit of the Spirit.
I
receive the gifts of Jesus.
The gifts of the Holy Spirit.
And the gifts from you, Father God. And I walk with you every day.
And I walk with you every day.
Because you want me to be one with you. And I want to be one with you.
And I want to be one with you.
And I am enjoying this relationship.
And I am enjoying this relationship.
In Jesus' mighty name.
In Jesus' mighty name.
That's pretty cool, and that's a good prayer.
Yeah, that was a good prayer.
I like it.
Yeah, I like that prayer.
Straight out of the Holy Spirit, because I never prayed that prayer before. Would you love it? This is why you got to get filled with the Holy Spirit and begin to flow in your heavenly language. Wait, you're already filled. I know yo-yo. Do you hear that? I know yo-yo. It's kind of like the chef who says yun-yuns. Ready? Let's pray over our elements, and then we'll take them together. You and I, we know who we are and where we are. Father, in the name of Jesus.
Father, in the name of Jesus.
I bless and sanctify these elements.
I bless and sanctify these elements.
For this time of communion with you.
For this time of communion with you.
All y'all can join us and say it with us if you want.
Oh, no.
Good. You were wounded for my transgression.
You were wounded for my transgression.
You were bruised for my iniquity.
Don't step on that.
The chastisement for my peace.
Is upon you, Lord.
And by your stripes I am healed.
By your stripes, I am healed.
In my spirit, in my soul, and in my body.
In my spirit, in my soul, and my body.
In my mind, my will, and my emotions.
In my mind, my will, and my emotions.
Nothing missing, nothing broken.
Nothing missing, and nothing broken.
All my joints supplying. The wonderful supply from your body, Jesus.
The wonderful supply from your body, Jesus.
In the body of Christ in my community.
In the body of Christ in my community.
And right here in this community of faith.
And right here in this community of faith.
In Jesus' mighty name.
In Jesus' mighty name.
Let's receive his broken body.
Okay, that's mine.
Thank you, Jesus. Thank you. Thank you, thank you, thank you. That you endured the cross, despising the shame, and you called it all joy. We love you. We lift up the cup of blessing. You ready? By the blood of Jesus.
By the blood of Jesus.
The most powerful cleansing force on the face of the earth.
The most powerful cleansing force on the face of the earth.
I have been redeemed. I have reconciliation with my Father.
I have reconciliation with my Father.
Every sin is placed in remission in my life. I am a new creation.
I am a new creation.
You are. Old things have passed away, and all things become new.
Old things have passed away, and all things have become new.
By the blood of Jesus, I come boldly.
By the blood of Jesus, I come boldly.
To the throne room of grace. Where I find grace, mercy, and help. For my assignment every day. By the blood of Jesus and the word of my testimony.
I overcome.
By the blood of Jesus.
Every plague has to pass over and cannot be on me or my family.
My conscience is purged.
My robes are made white.
And I will always be.
And
And I will always be
the glorious church.
The glorious church.
Without spot, wrinkle, or any other blemish.
Without spot, wrinkle, or any other blemish.
When you come for me.
When you come for me.
In Jesus' mighty name.
In Jesus' mighty name.
Let's receive the blood together. Glory be to God. Glory be to God. Glory be to God. All right, let's sing a song. What can wash away my sin? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. What can make me whole again? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. Oh, precious is the flow that makes me white as snow. No other fount I know. Nothing but the blood of Jesus. Wow, that's really awesome. Did you guys see what Felicia wrote in there a minute ago?
Yeah,
about James.
Oh, yeah.
When I was talking to Ed about health, he kept saying, what? And he heard me say, James, you're not going to hell.
Wow.
And I can tell you right now, those words didn't come out of my mouth.
Oh, I just caught it. Let me go read it.
There was no place I was going to say, James, you're not going to hell. What you and I just saw is the Holy Spirit of God took my words, and by the Holy Spirit flowing out of Felicia's phone to her son in the room with her, God said to James, you're not going to hell.
Aww. That's cool.
Hallelujah.
You gotta love the Holy Spirit. Rebecca, we love you, and good night to you, ma'am. God bless you. Bless you, Sunday. And,
yeah.
And Rebecca and Francetta. Brother Roger.
Yeah, welcome back, Roger.
Now, everybody get a good night's sleep and come back tomorrow and just hammer them comments all day long.
Amen, brother.
40 of Roger's comments out of 80. Now, you got to do some work to get above 80.
Now, was that on him making timestamps?
No, that was in the Facebook Live program.
Oh, okay.
No, but by the way, thank you all for the timestamps you made.
Yes.
I went in and checked them, and you guys are getting it. You're getting it. Don't freak out about this, because it makes a very major difference in everybody's life that's going to come in the future. And I honestly said it the other day to God. I'm like, no, Father, I need somebody sitting at this desk every day that is actively working for this ministry, making this thing happen, and paid position. And of course, Father's got streets of gold, so that ain't too big for him. We just got to keep saying, Father, send it and help us get this stuff prepared and going and doing. And from Pastor's word tonight, we're scrappers. Get your weapons and get up and fight.
Amen.
There was a thing I was going to ask you. Did you find out why that wouldn't open up the videos so I could get in there and stamp them? I couldn't get in there and save my toenail. And I tried, I don't know how many times, but I thought, well, I'm going to let it go before I destroy them.
And you can never destroy them, but who knows? Who knows? If I send it to you in Messenger, if it don't work one day, one time, then
you
come back.
I can go on YouTube and do them there if you want me to.
Yeah, it does. Right, it all works. It's the playlist called The Reality of Righteousness.
Okay.
If you go to my Facebook or my YouTube page, there'll be a little word up at the top of the screen that says playlist. If you click on that, you'll see a whole mess of playlists there.
And, oh, I didn't know that.
And one of them is called The Reality of Righteousness.
Okay.
And any of them that don't have timestamps, open them up and put some in.
Okay. Well,
oh, okay. So we just want us randomly. I thought I've almost finished with this one, and then I thought I had to ask you for another one. That's not true, right?
No, No, not at all.
Okay.
No, and I really want to get that playlist Reality of Righteousness done because I want to use that for new people who are coming in.
All right.
Good on it.
Thank you.
No problem.
Thank every one of you.
I like re-listening, too.
Yeah.
I like re-listening
to it. It's good.
Yeah.
Now, wait. This is really interesting. I like re-listening to it because I hear something myself every time, like, wow, did you hear what he just said right there?
Thank you, Holy Spirit.
But wait, it isn't my great wisdom. It's the Holy Spirit flowing through me. And the next time I listen to it, Robert Schuller, remember Robert Schuller that built the Crystal Cathedral?
Yeah.
He said it was almost done and they were building the pipe organ and they didn't realize we got to do a whole different thing about a pipe organ rattling all this glass. Well, that was in the 80s, and the process to make pipe organ work and the building work was an extra $5 million.
Oh.
And he was like, oh, my Lord, we had the whole building paid for. And he said, I went into my office, I closed the door, I closed the shades, I reached in the bottom desk, of my bottom drawer of my desk, and pulled out my own book, Tough Times Don't Last, But Tough People Do. And he said, I said to myself, Robert, by the Holy Spirit, say something to me. Anyways, thank you guys for being our friends. We sure do love you.
See you tomorrow night.
See you tomorrow night. Yeah, see you in the morning, too. Yeah.
Good night, everybody.
Night.
Bye.
Excuse me.
Bless you.
Glory. Hallelujah. So here we go. Now, Brother Dan over there on Blog Talk Radio, thank you for holding down the fort for us over there, brother. Love you, man. I've totally lost you. I can't find you.
Oh, just I got you here. Is Sam married to a Tomlin?
Who's that?
Oh, not Sam. Joe. Is your brother Joe married to Ann Tomlin?
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah.
Oh, wow. Okay. I didn't know it, but that's what Gretchen and I ended up doing last night was going to your family. I showed her a picture of your family, and she was trying to remember everybody because she was your age. Not your age. She's younger than you.
Ann?
She remembered.
Oh, Gretchen. Right.
Yeah, my daughter. She remembered all the kids from when there was so many kids, and I said, yeah, lots of little kids, and she said, well, then who did they get together, some of them? I said, I don't know. I said, you know, Joe is married to Ann, but Ann Cotto, and she goes, oh, Ann Tomlin? I go, I don't know. So then we looked that up, and then we found Jerry, we found Jackie, we found Jeff, we found, you know, then we found your family. We found
Chris.
Everybody who's married to.
Yeah, their one brother, Jay, he was the youngest. He died of cancer a couple years ago.
Aw, he did?
Mighty man of God, police officer in Lexington, Kentucky.
Aw.
Mighty man of God, just cancer. Cancer hit him fast growing, stage 4, bam, he was gone. Mighty man of God, Chris, Jay was.
Yeah, and there was Chris and
yep. Beth Ann.
Oh, Beth Ann Tomlin?
Beth Ann, yeah, she was married to Steve Morris, who was a police officer in city police officer in West Branch.
Oh, yeah, I didn't remember just then. That's one I forgot. But then we saw the Gutierrez. Glenn Gutierrez and his sister.